In a major escalation, the Trump administration has deployed approximately 2,000 federal agents to Minneapolis, Minnesota. FBI, DHS, HSI, and ICE, targeting widespread industrial-scale fraud in state-administered social services programs, while five states have had $10 billion in federal funds frozen for social services programs.
You have an understanding that 1,000 whistleblowers running an account on X have come forward to expose fraud in Minnesota state agencies, and they have been entirely ignored by Tim Walz and have even been retaliated against. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Even this morning, I got another message.
Make no mistake, we should be concerned about fraud in our state government. We cannot effectively deliver programs and services if we can't earn the public's trust.
The Tim Walz administration has utterly failed to protect Minnesota taxpayers and vulnerable citizens, ignoring years of credible reports and retaliating against those who spoke up, often by claiming they were racist or Islamophobic.
So today, if someone asks me, should I report fraud within DHS, I say no, no, no. It is career suicide plus a whole lot more. In our face-to-face meetings with a group of whistleblowers, they revealed that retaliation now includes threats of being fired with cause, which means you do not get unemployment insurance in the state of Minnesota, being blacklisted from all state agencies, and then there was a veiled threat of the use of military intelligence against them. They later informed me that it was discovered that in some targeted employees or suspected whistleblowers' personnel files were pictures of their homes and their cars. They also described that supervisors asked them questions about their families that to them felt like a threat. One example was, we need to know where your kids go to school and where their bus stops are.
Fending off the links to fraud, Governor Tim Walz has nervously welcomed federal cooperation.
We have a requirement that the House run an audit, which they did not do. You are the gatekeepers on this. Demand that there's data practices, and if they have emails showing that I have committed fraud, you should get those.
Which agency will provide oversight? Who will be the investigators? Will be audited? How often? Will the Attorney General's office play a role in that? Can you just speak to that?
Those conducting oversight will, to a certain extent, probably make themselves known to us.
While Attorney General Keith Ellison has already been exposed.
Your office was involved when Feed in Our Future was sued for the first time.
And I'll call them in my office and demand some explanations.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I'm one of them, those guys you're talking about. April 30th, I got shut down, and I got they put me on bows.
You say April?
April 30th.
Yeah.
You mean throughout the whole summer and the fall?
Yep, and I
you ain't had no money since then?
No, yeah. I have like 10 pilots sitting up there in our safari.
Attorney General Keith Ellison was focused on one thing and one thing only, and that was keeping these folks in business. There were no questions that he asked of these folks about how the kids are doing, the operation, how they're getting fed, who's being helped. Instead, the focus was entirely on ensuring that the money continues to flow. And I'll add that he went so far as to say that he was going to fight these people in reference to the state agencies. The state agencies are his client.
Yeah, and when you said money's going to flow, did money flow to Mr. Ellison's campaign a couple weeks later from some of the folks who were in that meeting?
Sure did.
How much, do we know how much that was?
I do not have that number.
So it wasn't just overlooking the fraud. They were actively trying to make sure this program continued, and then they benefited from that politically with contribution to their campaign, all in this same year, all in 2021, when this was all coming to a head. Is that accurate?
That is my understanding.
Meanwhile, America asks, why are we even paying taxes? The United States collects roughly $2.4 trillion annually in individual federal income taxes. Following long-needed investigations and reform, the real fraud numbers could exceed the taxpayers' contribution. Meanwhile, Somalia had billions in debt forgiven as it digs itself further into the pockets of the American taxpayer.
The full scope of the problem is not just criminal fraud, but a culture of profiting from government programs in perpetuity, not as a safety net, but as an industry.
I'm not influenced, by the way. I'm a patriot. and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. Coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. I'm in studio with the one and only Stuart Rhodes, captain of the Oath Keepers. Oathkeepers.info, GibsonGoat.com/oath is where you can go to support him. And you're back on X.
Yes.
I heard you say that on the show, I know it's...
I mean, knock on wood.
Yeah. Nobody tell Elon.
We'll see what happens. So I'm issuing a call to action. I think it's time for us to step up. I don't care if you're not an Oath Keeper member. That's not what it's about. It's what we used to do before. So if you are prior military, police, professionally trained security, you know, if you're someone that can do security work, I'm putting a call to action out right now, right here on live on air. You can email us at volunteers@oathkeepers.info. Give us your background. Let me know what your prior experience is. If you're a prior law enforcement officer, whatever you're comfortable giving us for documentation to prove that. We'll have to do a background check on you like we always used to do. So I'm going to put together teams in every state to go and protect guys like Nick Sotor and Nick Shirley. And I was telling you, I was just talking to Brian Mock, who's another J6er, lives in Minnesota. I said, hey, Brian, why don't you go down there and be a man on the street for interviews? Like, F that.
Yeah.
It's not safe. You know, so
Nick Sotor got run out of there.
Right.
Yeah, and he had security and said, you know, it wasn't enough. Guys, we can put a lower third down there for the email. It's volunteers@oathkeepers.info.
Right.
So I was going to say, your name came up quite a few times yesterday during the show. Callers, you know, calling in, going, you know, where are the Oath Keepers?
Right.
You know, maybe we need to get people down there.
You need to.
And this is really what you guys did and do.
Yeah.
And
we did
since
that.
Ferguson, I mean.
That's right. Since 2014, we did this in the streets and then also throughout the entire Trump administration. Also, important point, 100% successful. Never had a use of force incident, never had to shoot anybody, even punch or kick anybody, or no pepper spray, nothing.
Wow.
Because the bad guys wouldn't close. Not saying like a jihadist Somali guy, for example, won't become kinetic. We don't know that. But our guys are competent, and unless they're a crazy jihadist, usually it'll deter them.
So. Well, I've seen groups of Oath Keepers at protests, and it's not a group that you want to mess with. just from the appearance, it's competent men who are, you know, body armor decked out, who are there to provide peace and stability and to de-escalate.
Right.
And nobody's going to be running up on them unless they really have a death
wish. And you know, we had about 30% of our membership was retired or current law enforcement officers. And a lot of them, their current officers, they can carry anywhere in the country, including Washington, D.C., or they're retired with LEOSA credentials, they can carry nationwide. So that's what LEOSA is for, you know, Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act.
Right.
And so I think that helped a lot with the deterrence. Because the bad guys know. Like, okay, you can't tell which one's a retired cop.
Right.
Yeah, even in D.C. or like Berkeley, California, for example, for that operation, none of us veterans, I'm not a prior law enforcement, none of us veterans could carry a gun because they just passed an emergency ordinance the night before to ban all weapons in the park. But the cops told our cops, hey, we're not going to tell another officer he can't carry.
Right.
We had 14 armed police officers, Oath Keeper cops in the park. And I'm sure the bad guys learned that.
Yeah.
Through their contacts inside of the Berkeley PD. So.
Well, and so that can be, you know, the difference between a riot really getting violent and being able to bring about calm. Well,
it was. Here's the thing, though, is that we're seeing it now. Same thing we saw before, stand down orders being given by Democrat politicians. Unfortunately, you know, bad guy police chiefs giving their guys orders. Like in Berkeley, they stood back and let Antifa assault people the first rally that after President Trump was inaugurated in 2016. Right. We saw that live online. We weren't there. But we saw that. It's like, oh, they just stood down and did nothing to protect people. Antifa's in there with clubs beating people up. So we went in, and because our cops were there, the cops did a better job. Gave them about a C.
Right.
The next time we gave them an A because they blocked Antifa from even getting to the park at all.
Right. So, but, which they should have done from the beginning, but sometimes they need that extra.
So the presence of retired police officers doing their job for them, I think, prods the police to do a better job.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and they, and, you know, the police don't want it to, but basically when it's just Antifa, it's just like a one-sided thing. It's right. Like, it's fine. Just let Antifa go beat them up. But as soon as it's like, oh, wait, the right's going to stand up for themselves, then they'll go in and make sure that there's no, that there's no conflict.
It's right. And so I'm going to give props to the Proud Boys also.
Right.
They were very different, little different strategy. They're more of, you know, in your face, let's street fight.
Yeah, a little more of a frat borough vibe.
But they also protected people.
Absolutely.
And prevented Antifa from running the streets. Wherever they showed up, Antifa couldn't do shit.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So. Well, and, you know, I'm having flashbacks to 2020.
This is 2020. It's deja vu all over again.
It really is. And we were talking about it before the break, or before we went live. In 2020, there was like Ahmed Arbery, which was the guy who was running around construction sites.
Jogging.
He was jogging in his hiking boots and his jeans and,
checking out empty houses.
Yeah. Just, you know, the normal thing you do when jogging through a neighborhood that's 5 miles from where you live. Anyway, it was an unfortunate situation. You know, they tried to do a citizen's arrest on him. He tried to grab the gun, ended up getting shot. And that was sort of like, that was in, I think, like early February 2020. And there was sort of a bump, and it was like Black Lives Matter, which hadn't been around for a while, sort of, you know, started cropping up again. But it didn't become a big nationwide thing until George Floyd hit. So it almost feels like what happened yesterday, we're not seeing the same, you know, impetus that like when George Floyd, it's not this nationwide uprising, but it almost feels like that early warning shot.
Yeah. If that had been a black woman, storm, then it would
be full, exactly. You know,
Kitty bar the door.
That's how it feels.
Right. I think Al said that yesterday on the show. He's like, hey, you know, if it was a white chick, they're still going to use it all they possibly can.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's right. We're heading into the same territory. And that's what's frustrating is we should not. I don't want to see a repeat of 2020 with the same outcome.
Right.
And the outcome after 2020 is that President Trump did not invoke the Insurrection Act, did not actually, you know, go after the people who were directly obstructing, like they tried to burn down the federal courthouse.
Yeah.
In fact, I knew some of the U.S. Marshals, they were, you know, taking me back and forth to trial in shackles. They were like, oh yeah, I was at the courthouse.
Wow.
They tried to kill us.
Yeah.
Anything happened to those guys? Nope. So here I am in shackles for doing nothing while the ones who tried to burn them to death in the courthouse are still walking free.
And those people probably got payouts, you know? Because that keeps happening. These big cities, you know, in New York, there was a riot. They zip tied a couple people for a couple minutes, and those people suddenly got $20,000 checks from the city.
Right.
You know, as payment for the pain and suffering they were caused. So yeah, it's completely one sided and unfair. Do you think we're going to see a repeat? Because it is, but it's a little different. Because 2020, there was the election coming up, and I know not just from Trump, but even from Trump voters. You know, we were going, hey, you know, this sucks, but like, don't do anything crazy. This is all about the election. We're not going to let it.
That's the problem.
Now, of course, then the election gets stolen anyway. Right. So, and that's
the midterms are going to get stolen anyway.
Right.
Or the midterms will be lost. As I was talking about with Alex on the show, the midterms going to get lost. I was talking with Ivan actually.
Yeah.
But it'll get lost because of the inaction.
Yep.
So it's the same. It is deja vu all over again. This is 2020. There's an election coming up. I'm sure President Trump's being told, oh, you can't do that. You can't invoke the Insurrection Act. You can't actually go after the bad guys, you know, scorched earth, because you'll lose the midterms. No, it's the exact opposite. If you don't do what we put you in office to do, what you have the power to do, and what the vast majority of the American public wants you to do, is go after the corrupt pedophiles, the corrupt traitors, people that are profiting off of child sex trafficking. You go after these people that are in political power.
Yeah.
And you'll win the midterms.
100%. And, you know, even if part of the frustration for me is like, it doesn't even seem like they're trying to me.
Who's they?
like Trump and Pam Bondi. And, right.
Well, they're not trying on purpose, I believe.
Right. It, and so it's, you know, it would
just
be
like Bill, just like Barr again.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Just like Barr. And Bob it would Barr. Be one thing if it was, if they're filing this and filing that and okay, the court's overturning and this goes up to a higher court and there's something happening, but it's like, okay, they file one for Comey and then like a couple weeks later it gets thrown out right. And they're like, meh. And it's just
it.
Like, what? Where is the fight? Where is the fire? They're not even showing us that they're trying to do this. Yeah. So that to me is the frustration behind it is it would be one thing if they were trying, but they don't even seem like they're trying.
No, they don't, and they're not. And I think it's the same play. You had Barr last time as Attorney General was a poison pill.
Yep.
And he's on the same agenda, which is to run the clock out on Trump, distract him with foreign policy, and back then it was distracting with impeachment and all that.
Yep.
Put him on the defensive and then run the clock out. And so they're going to take the. And I do believe that a lot of the Republicans in the House and the Senate don't care about losing the midterms. They're fine with that. Because they continue to be in the club, Griff continues. Do you think Lindsey Graham cares about losing the majority in the Senate? No.
I think a lot of things about Lindsey Graham
put it this way. He's part of the deep state. He wants to preserve that trowel that they're all feeding at. He does not 100%. Want that tipped over. And so he doesn't care if he gets nudged to the side a little bit. He's still eating at the trial.
100%. In fact, I have actually videos from it. It's funny you bring this up because people have been posting videos of Lindsey Graham from 2020, 2021, when he was one of the first to throw Trump under the bus and congratulate Kamala and Joe Biden for winning the election. I mean, he was a traitor on January 6th who gave a speech basically saying, you know, this is all silly. They won. The election wasn't stolen. Guys, I'm not sure if you know which where in the list that was. 'Cause I wasn't expecting to go to it.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, I put it in. I actually put it in somewhat recently. Yeah, let's go to this. So this has been going around.
There he is.
Posted with Lindsey Graham, a profile. Lindsey Graham, a profile in cowardice. This is from 2021, January 6th.
Candy pants is what I call.
Candy pants. Let's watch.
Say is count me out. Enough is enough. I've tried to be held, and when it's over, it is over. It is over. The final thing, Joe Biden, I've traveled the world with Joe. I hoped he lost. I prayed he would lose. He won. He's the legitimate president of the United States. I cannot convince people, certain groups, by my words, but I will tell you by my actions, that maybe I, among any, above all others in this body, need to say this. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are lawfully elected and will become the president and the vice president of the United States on January the 20th.
So there you go. That was either on January 6th or just shortly after. Obviously, it was before the inauguration there. And now that guy is best friends with Donald Trump. Every time I see Trump, Lindsey Graham is right there, you know, vibrating with excitement about what new war is being launched.
Please don't talk about Lindsey Graham and vibrating.
I know. this is the vibe he gives off, right? He's squealing with glee at the prospect of yet another front in the global war opening up.
Yeah.
But isn't that emblematic of how Trump has gone wrong, that's the guy that he's now allied with?
I understand why he can't see these people hate him and have nothing but contempt for him and for all of his followers, for the entire America First movement. These are traitors to our country in allegiance with foreign enemies. And President Trump is sadly doing the same exact thing. So, yeah, unless we get him to change trajectory, it's going to be a repeat of 2020.
Yeah.
He'll lose the midterms, and then they'll impeach him and remove him from office. That's what's going to happen.
100%. And, you know, Susie Wiles is saying, well, Trump's going to treat 2026 like 2024, and he's going to be on the campaign trail all year. It's like that is exactly what we don't need. We need Trump in office, in the Oval Office, making calls, getting crap done, you know, bringing his whip hand down on Pam Bondi and the others, not gallivanting around the country, getting support for people that don't back him up, that don't vote for his policies, aren't doing anything in Congress anyway. So it's just, what a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. They're getting him, they're tricking him into believing that he can just go stump for people that we're not going to vote for.
Yeah.
And I think I've made a really good point. If he cleans house now, by taking down all the, like, doing a master classification exposure and, you know, and taking down all the corrupt members of Congress. Now you got primaries coming up that we could actually run for.
Right.
Hell, I'll run for one in Texas. Why not?
Right.
You take down Jan Crenshaw, I'll move to, I don't know if I can do it in time, but, you know, I'm just saying as an example.
No, absolutely.
I would go there and fill that vacancy if you expose him. Tim Walz is stepping down now, going to step down. Why? Because
They want to give time
because,
to...
Because Nick Shirley exposed the fraud.
Right.
So expose them and take them down politically, and then we'll be able to go in and primary them out.
Yeah.
Including Abbott. I want to see Doc Chambers in Texas as the governor, for example.
I mean, have you seen the image that was being posted today? I don't know how, you know, scientifically valid it is, but it's basically a map of H-1B, you know, visa fraud in America. And Texas is the epicenter.
Right.
I had no idea. I mean, it's obvious now. You know, you go around some of these neighborhoods, especially around Austin.
Yeah.
You know, used to be farmhouses 5 years ago. Now it's
New Dilly.
10,000 homes, every one of which is, occupied by an Indian family. So, yeah, Texas has been completely screwed and hollowed out from the inside.
And Texas is a key state. You got a massive influx of Indians, like you said, from India, you know, dot, not feather.
Yep.
And you've got a massive influx of Muslims, and they're building mosques all over Texas.
Yep.
So that's the H-1B visas?
Yep. Okay. I don't know exactly what the map's showing, but this is how the H-1B map looks. You know your state is under full invasion and the fraud is completely out of control. So.
And you can also pair that with a map of all the mosques being built in Texas too.
Yep. And not to mention the, you know, illegal immigrant city outside of Houston. I mean, right. Yeah, Texas is getting it from all angles for a good reason, right? If we lose Texas, if Texas goes blue, that's it for America.
Oh, yeah.
They've recognized this.
The electoral college votes in Texas are so massive that's it. And that's why it's happening.
Yeah.
That's why that's happening. It's happening on Abbott's watch.
Yep.
So that's why, like I said, so what was done to through Nick Shirley of all, you know, how old is he, 25 years old?
23, yeah.
Yeah.
Young kid.
So a young kid goes in and does what the DOJ, FBI, DHS, none of them could do any of this. He goes and does it.
Yep.
And only now they go, oh, yeah, we're going to come investigate. You know, we're going to send task forces in.
Yeah. Well, that's been the cycle this entire time with Epstein, with the Butler shooter, with the Charlie Kirk assassination. Every time it's independent reporters coming out with something, and then the next day the FBI comes out going, oh, well, don't worry, we're definitely investigating this.
Steve Baker,
it's crazy,
discloses who he believes is the pipe bomber.
A week later, what do you know?
And then, bam. They magically find the pipe, which I believe is an innocent man.
I do as well. So, yeah, you know, this is the problem, is that we still have these same actors and these same organizations. I mean, we still haven't gotten a single charge for Russiagate, and we have had admissions of guilt since 2016, right? I mean, we've had the text messages of Peter Strzok saying, this is our insurance plan, where Trump's not going to be president. That is an admission of guilt. And so it's like, we can't even get that done.
And they're running the clock out of sets of limitations now, too.
Right.
Like J6, for example.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so this is what's happening. It's after a while you have to go, this can't be incompetence. It can't be
exactly.
The Pam Bondi and what's his name, the other one? Todd Blanche.
Oh, Todd Blanche, yep.
It can't be the Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche and Cash Patel and Bongino right there with them are just incompetent. It can't be that. This is willful.
100%.
Willful dereliction of duty, and I would consider it frankly treason.
Yeah.
So they're now framing, they didn't fire Ballantyne, the prosecutor in charge of persecuting General Flynn, and then later on persecuting the Proud Boys and other J6ers. They didn't fire her. They put her in charge of covering up the Fed's direction pipe bombing by now prosecuting another innocent human being.
Yep.
And you've got Judge Jeanine letting that happen under her watch too. So she should be fired too.
It really is infuriating. And
it is.
I mean, you want to know the biggest difference between the Biden and the Trump administration. It's Merrick Garland versus Pam Bondi. I mean, these two figures could not be more different. Merrick Garland is this like hardcore business, you know,
right. Strictly
business. He's the hatchet man who's going to go in and he's going to, you know, whether, you know, he's the corporate guy who comes in, cuts half of your workforce, you know, sells off all your assets and gets out of there with $1 billion in his pocket. I mean, he was hardcore.
He was.
Compare that to Pam Bondi, this freaking bimbo, you know, bubbling around doing nothing.
Both working for the same team.
True.
Yeah, it's just like Bill Barr. It was Bill Barr, not Bob Barr. Bob
right,
Barr
right.
The old congressman. So Bill Barr, I consider Pam Bondi just Bill Barr in a dress.
Yeah.
High heels.
See, Bill Barr still has the air
same
of
play.
Competence, doesn't he?
Same play.
Yeah. But
yeah, you're right. He had more of an air of competence, but it's the same play. She just gets to play the dumb blonde.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I just don't know what I'm doing.
Act like you're doing something, achieve nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem, is that they're running the clock out again. So how do we – it's like that old cartoon, Dr. Seuss cartoon, Horton Hears a Who. How do we get President Trump to hear us and understand what we want him to do, what he has to do? It's so frustrating.
That's a question I've been asking this whole time.
I know, it's been driving you crazy.
I know, because especially because I keep saying, like, the dude almost got shot in the head. What am I supposed to say to him that's going to be more impactful than that? And you know, the rumor is, or at least, you know, the story was yesterday that he's out there asking, you know, Republicans, I have all the right – you know, policies. Why don't people like me? Why is our support leaving?
How can he not, it can be that tone deaf.
I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
We want him to take the deep state down, and he's not doing that.
It's really as simple as that.
And hey, why is he not, why is Ballantyne still in as a prosecutor in the DOJ? You know, one of the worst prosecutors of them all, she's still there. You know, so fire her. Why can't that happen?
What? Yeah, why not?
Yeah. And whatever excuse you got for why you can't prosecute this person or that person, at least have people in the DOJ that are patriots and not traitors. You know?
Do they just not exist? Are there no competent right-wing lawyers? Like, of course there are. Yeah, why can't we find them? Why is it nothing but these deep state rats that we know are corrupt and we just can't get them out?
Because Todd Blanche runs the DOJ. That's the bottom line.
Because he won one thing for Trump one time.
Yeah.
And that was it. You're Lindsey Graham hearing Trump demanded $500 billion increase to the war budget. Yeah, I mean, Trump, you're palling around with Lindsey frickin' Graham. What do you mean you don't know why people are leaving the plantation? So, you're hanging out with the enemy.
It's like I was talking with Ivan about. I think that President Trump has momentum right now when it comes to foreign policy.
Yes.
He has momentum on that. I would say shift that gear, though, and focus on Mexico. Because Mexico is where the fentanyl is actually coming from, that's killing, you know, millions of Americans.
Right.
Or like 700,000 now in the last few years, so almost a million. So that's where it's coming from. So use that. You put a shot across the bow against China and everybody else. This is our hemisphere. But now let's do the same exact thing when it comes to what's the name, Sheinbaum down there?
Yeah. Claudia.
Really
Claudia
strange
Sheinbaum.
Name for a Mexican president.
El Sheinbaum. Yeah, La Sheinbaum. Yeah, it's
Senora Sheinbaum.
Senora Sheinbaum, exactly. El Presidenta. Just focus on the domestic stuff.
Well, that's part of it.
He's focused so on the foreign stuff.
No,
it's like
that's my point.
Yeah.
Is that, hey, he's got the military on his side. That's why he wants to use them. He's got DHS on his side. I think Alex is right about that. They're more loyal. The guys that joined DHS, most of them joined after 9/11 for the right reasons.
Yeah.
So use them, but you know, take advantage of the fact that as commander-in-chief, you can use the military. But rescue Tina Peters, put the military on the border with Mexico, and become decisive about stopping and focus on the sex trafficking from the cartels and the fentanyl that's killing Americans. Because it's a fair point. In his speech he gave about Maduro, he's like, oh, he killed millions of Americans. No, he really didn't, actually.
Right.
It's really Sheinbaum who's the puppet of the cartels, the puppet of China.
Yep.
China is – that's your biggest proxy for China right now is Mexico.
100%.
So,
but I just think, you know, frankly, personally, I'm just like, I get it. Trump is being very successful overseas. I don't take that away from him. The Venezuela raid was really, you know, the stuff of legend, really incredible stuff.
Right.
But it's like the next thing I want to hear is something domestic. I don't want to hear about Mexico. I don't want to hear about Russia. I don't want – because it's just – do something here. And I think the Tina Peters thing is like, that's the perfect one.
That's a flagship.
It hits all of the vectors, right?
It's the
easy button. It's the right thing to do. It's the moral thing to do. Right. It's the just thing to do. It's not punishing anybody. It's getting somebody out of unjust punishment. So it's not like you even have some sort of backlash because you're arresting somebody. No, you're freeing somebody. And it's the most hardcore Trump supporters that are most outraged that Tina Peters is still rotting away in prison.
Right. Absolutely. And then,
that's
but I still, the point I bring up Mexico is that you can say, okay, and who is benefiting from the wide open border with Mexico? Not just the cartels. It's also all the corrupt politicians who are being paid by the cartels inside the United States.
Yep.
Start digging into that because that's real. And the pedophiles who are the customers of the cartels for sex trafficked children.
Yep.
Right back into, you want to deactivate the fallout from the Epstein fiasco. Is you focus on this child sex trafficking by the Mexican cartels and go after the customers.
Absolutely.
Have press conferences where you lay out, we just captured this cartel member who was sex trafficking children. Who can defend that? And here are his connections with politicians.
And then go after the politicians. Yes. Hear that, Trump? We just gave you about 15 different things you could do today to get your approval back on track. Is he listening? Time will tell. More on the other side. Stay with us.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning.
Hmm.
All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
I just, you know, some people call in the, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Stuart Rhodes in studio with me. He's looking for volunteers to help go keep the peace as we look forward.
Protect.
Right.
Yeah. Looking for volunteers to help protect.
Be on the ground at protest sites.
Protecting men like Nick Shirley and Nick Sotor.
Nick Sotor, yeah.
Right. Who I guess just yesterday was saying that he got driven out with threats of violence.
That's what he was saying. And he is very mad at the local police who basically told him, nothing we can do. Hung up on him while he was on 911 apparently.
That's it's so weird. It is deja vu all over again. It's the same exact pattern we saw in the first Trump administration. Local police obeying stand-down orders and not protecting Americans or exercising their rights. And so we have to step up and fill the vacuum.
You got to step into the gap. And so you can volunteer by emailing volunteers@oathkeepers.info. Volunteers@oathkeepers.info is the email address, and you can email and just say, I'm a retired cop or I'm a retired serviceman.
I mean, we would take police officers, military veterans, definitely I would take EMS personnel. It's always good.
First responders, yeah.
Any guys who are professional trained security, you know, whatever, the license in your state, all of that is good. It was security experience. A guy used to be a bouncer. I'll take a guy like that, too. Mm. Like you've probably seen, what's that one, mixed martial arts that goes around and protects people?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name now, but he's squared away. If you're training in MMA and you can fight, I'll take you.
Okay.
In the past, we used guys that were boxers or MMA fighters or wrestlers. If you got competency like that, you're good with your hands and you can take care of yourself. Trust me, Antifa's not going to want to tangle with you.
Right. So, and you're there to guarantee that people like Nick Shirley, Nick Sortor have the First Amendment right.
Murdered. Right.
Yeah.
And going into something like Minneapolis, I would definitely want to have retired police officers that could carry and that have lethal force capacity.
Not
that
they want to use
it.
Yeah.
But we were there, for example, during a Trump campaign rally. I think it was back in, when was that? 2017, I think it was. So we were at a Trump campaign rally, or 2018. And we successfully protected people in the streets of Minneapolis.
Yeah.
That was
of course, you were there in Ferguson when this all really popped off. And that was some of the craziest stuff.
Right. So yes, please, and you don't have to be an Oath member to volunteer. Of course, we're welcome to have you as a member, but you can volunteer. I don't care whether you're a member or not, as long as you're competent and trained and squared away and are okay with going through a background check.
And if you want to join the Oath Keepers, you can go to oathkeepers.info. And if you want to contribute, you can go to givesendgo.com/oath. That's givesendgo.com/oath. And you got to get these networks up and running now, because obviously it looks like we're in for a bumpy road ahead, especially with the just insane confidence of the left, who right now are not in power, but are making threats like they are. I mean, it's completely insane. And now you have the governor of Minnesota putting the National Guard on alert that they may be deployed to fight federal agents. Like,
he gave them a warning order. So it was a warning order.
Right.
And he made it very clear that they're our National Guard.
Right.
So what you're going to see potentially is a repeat of what you saw in Little Rock, Arkansas, if President Trump plays this right. I hope that Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, gives the orders to the National Guard of Minnesota to obstruct ICE and prevent them from exercising their responsibilities as federal agents. I hope he does that. That's exactly what happened in Little Rock, Arkansas. The governor of Arkansas ordered his National Guard to go and block the black students from attending the schools.
Right.
And then Eisenhower nationalized the National Guard of Arkansas. That's step one. But step two, he sent in the 101st Airborne, a thousand of 101st Airborne troops to go and escort them personally. So that's what I would do. I think President Trump, if I were President Trump, I think President Trump should say, okay, throw me in that briar patch. Go ahead and call up your National Guard to obstruct federal agents. Please do that. Then I'll nationalize them, order them to do whatever I want them to do. But meanwhile, and I would sit in the 101st.
Right.
Why not?
It's their historical. Yeah.
Fly them right in. Now they're air assault, not airborne. That's okay. They're still badasses. Fly them in from Kentucky, from Fort Campbell, where they're based at. Bring them into Colorado and put them on the streets.
So that's actually, I hadn't thought about it in that way yet. You're exactly right. There's a historical precedent for this exact thing
exactly
happening.
Exactly the same thing. So Tim Walz is behaving exactly like, I think it was Governor Faub or whatever his name was.
George,
Whatever his name was. The governor of Arkansas. He's behaving exactly the same way.
Yeah.
And draw that parallel. It's like, hey, just as Eisenhower made clear, you can't obstruct federal authority when they're exercising their duties, and it's about
in accordance with the law. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Can't do that. And then reemphasize, we are going into Minneapolis not just to get after the fraudsters, but also to take down child sex traffickers and cartel members who are killing Americans with Chinese fentanyl. That's what's part of the strategy of the CHICOMs. You know, their unrestricted warfare to come in and kill Americans. That's what we're doing here.
Absolutely. And then, of course, I mean, it's always just hard to talk about this because technically there's a kind of two separate things, but just obviously that's not. It's not a coincidence that, like, on the day that you have this big expose about how Walz himself and his DHS were backdating documents to try to get away with the fraud, that suddenly he's starting a civil war with the federal. So it's like – technically these are two separate things. This woman died as part of the ICE enforcement, while at the same time there's this big fraud investigation, but it's all about immigration. The reason the immigrants are coming over is because they vote for the Democrats, who then give them big checks, which part of that goes back into the campaign. Right. So, I mean, this is, it seems to me, just on the surface, I mean, this is a guy who was caught, engaged in, or helping to cover up this immense fraud, and is now trying to start a domestic disturbance to try to distract from it and get away from it.
That's the problem with what happened yesterday. And this is why half measures don't work.
Right.
It's sharply in contrast. It's not like, oh, you can't bring out the National Guard because then someone will get killed. Well, someone just got killed
right.
because you didn't have sufficient manpower to block the streets and prevent vehicle traffic. That's where you, and you know that's their pattern. They're going to be using vehicles to ram you. So why would you let them drive down that road where you're doing operations?
That is something I've been complaining about, and I have people online going, oh, now InfoWars is on the side of the feds. But I'm going, guys, we've been invaded with tens of millions of people. We have to get them out.
Yes.
Doing this daylight raid in the middle of streets that are open and people are coming in and ramming their car, it's just chaotic. You have to treat this like a military operation.
Right.
Here's the neighborhood. We're going to descend at 3 o'clock in the morning, get everybody out. And by the time, you know, the lefties realize what's going on, they've already bagged everybody and gotten out of there. I mean, they need to take it more seriously.
Just like a raid, like the Venezuela raid, or like raids in Iraq.
Yep.
You know, when special forces or any military unit had a target list, they'd go in the middle of the night and go grab them. And they would, of course, have a perimeter around the area of operation to protect against the enemy coming back with their QR.
Exactly. Yep.
So you have to do that. You isolate the objective, and you do your raid, and then you get out.
And
you don't want to Mogadishu,
right?
You don't want to have
where you
chaos,
get bogged down and
get bogged
stuck
down.
There. Yeah.
And so that's what happened yesterday. Because they're not blocking the streets, you had vehicle traffic, and they had a situation where you had, you know, Governor Walz given a gift of a dead Karen that
right.
he can now deflect from his fraud.
And then to see them encourage the violence and
go out there and do more protests, more Karen obstruction.
It's so insanely irresponsible.
Be peaceful,
right?
As you know,
and they know exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
I mean, they're sending people into the lion's den, like
Cannon
really
fodder.
Dangerous. And we were talking about this during the break. How on January 6th, you know, Trump came out and made a video saying, "Be peaceful, go home." Meanwhile, these Democrats. Immediately after this, while the crowds are gathering and the riotous conditions are starting, they're on video going, "This woman was murdered and we will not stand for this and get the F out of here, ICE." I mean, they are doing everything they can to incite the violence.
Sure, because what they're doing, they're basically saying that she did nothing wrong with going in there with vehicles and trying to block, that's peaceful protest, trying to block and obstruct. Keep doing that because all it's going to do is give them more, they hope. More dead Karens.
Yeah. Literally.
They can get, and eventually they'll win the lottery and get a dead black Karen.
Right.
Then it'll be Katie Barr to the door. It'll be George Floyd all over again.
And hell, if they can't bring it about, you know, naturally or authentically, maybe they'll just do it themselves. You know, after all, you know, that's the way the mind works. They go, people don't understand the threat that we're under. We'll kill somebody. So then they'll understand, you know, how real this is. I mean, these people are crazy.
So draw back the parallel again with Eisenhower. Imagine if Eisenhower had sent in just federal agents to go and escort the black students into the schools. And then you had the National Guard of Arkansas
trying to stop
them
or
whatever. That's where you have, you know, more chaos. Because he dropped the hammer and said, I'm nationalizing the National Guard. I'm calling you into service under my authority as commander in chief. A, now you work for me. B, to guarantee you work for me, I'm sending 1,000 hardened combat veterans from the 101st Airborne. No National Guardsman is going to want to dance with the 101st Airborne.
Right.
This is not going to happen.
Especially not, what was it, 10 years after World War II ended?
The 101st Airborne, there are a lot of combat vets from Afghanistan and Iraq are still
absolutely.
In the 101st Airborne, still studs. So they're not going to want to do that. There's no way.
So the Insurrection Act, right? I mean, we have been talking, this has been the word that's been on our lips for the last 5 years, it feels like.
Absolutely 5 years.
I mean, it has been 5 years, because that's what.
In 2020, when they were rioting the first time, I was like, this is where you
Insurrection
should.
Insurrection Act, yep. Yeah. And his hand was stayed because it was an election year and because it was COVID and it was all crazy. He doesn't have that excuse now. And I mean, I've never seen, literally, I mean, in my life, there's never been a more
applicable time to invoke the Insurrection Act. I mean, what
2020 is actually worse than it is now, but this is what's coming.
But yeah. In 2020, you still didn't have the statements that Tim Walz is making, where he's saying Minnesota, we've never been at war with the federal government, right. But I'm calling up the National Guard to you know, stop the
yeah.
That never happened. I mean, they had stand down orders, but it feels like this is a whole new realm with the Podesta plan and the way that they've sort of seeded the psychological landscape with this, you know, rebellion, revolution, civil war mentality.
It is overall the same play, but I agree, you're right. When it comes to the rhetoric or the actions of the governors, it's worse now. And it's because they got away with 2020.
Exactly.
Now they're escalating.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And so are we falling into a trap? I mean, you know, it seems like the left is doing everything they can to encourage, but at the same time, even
no,
Walz,
I don't believe they really want Trump to invoke the insurrection.
Right, because yesterday Walz said that. Walz said, "Oh, don't give them an excuse to invoke the Insurrection Act." So clearly, they're thinking about that, and they want to push up just to the line, but they don't want to go so far as to invoke the Insurrection Act.
I think the same play is in play that they want Trump to think that if he does that, he'll lose the election.
Yep.
If he does that, people will die. If you do it right, that won't happen. And the way you do it right is you have the National Guard block the streets. You have DHS and, like you're doing right now, DHS and ICE doing their duty, but now with backup from the National Guard. That's how you do that. You're not asking a young infantry combat arms guy to go house to house and get people. You're asking him to block the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like sort of has to happen. So maybe that's got to be like the concerted thing right now, is maybe we need to have protests that are just Insurrection Act Now.
Yeah.
Insurrection Act Now.
And it's actually safer. And I sincerely believe that's true.
Yeah.
It's safer because you have the manpower to lock it down so that you don't have what we had yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we don't have situations where people feel like we need to go out and fight for this. Because, again, I think, you know, 2020 you had Trump's calculus was saying, okay, this is an election. But I think that was people's calculus as well. People were watching the chaos reigning and they were going, ooh, they're trying to provoke us. We're not going to let them. We're going to win this election. And so we're not going to take the bait.
Well,
now I wonder if people are just going to go, F it. They want to fight. We'll go fight them. I mean, we don't want that.
Well, that did happen in 2020 to a limited degree.
To a little bit, yeah.
You had the Proud Boys street fighting and kicking the crap out of Antifa, which I thought was fantastic, frankly.
Of course.
You had us out there in the street, Oath Keepers, protecting people. And then you had other groups were out there doing the same thing.
Yeah, neighborhoods.
All over the country. They had to. They had no choice.
Yeah.
So, but they were in danger of being prosecuted by their own police forces in Democratic cities. That's the problem.
Some were. Who are the McCuskers, or is that what they're called?
Well, some of the Proud Boys got prosecuted. They got in a fight with Antifa. Anywhere it's a leftist enclave, you run the risk. You know, so we were successful in doing that without a problem because we deterred them without having to use any force. But there's never a guarantee.
Right.
You know, like I was talking about the young sergeant here in Austin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was his name Perry?
Daniel Perry. Yeah.
Yeah, it just happened to run into a Black Lives Matter. He was out there driving Uber for extra money, pulled around a corner, ran into a blockade of Antifa or Antifa and Black Lives Matter. A white Antifa guy points his AK at him, and then he gets prosecuted for murder for defending himself.
Yep.
So it's always a risk. But if President Trump doesn't, this is the problem. We will fill the vacuum. It's going to happen.
Exactly.
And yes, I think in Minneapolis, for example, if you've got people going down there, who are, you know, like you got Jake Lang coming up right pretty quick here with a protest against Islam in Minneapolis, that could turn into a massive shit show.
Yeah.
You know, on the 17th, he's going in there to do that. And so I think he needs to have more security. I didn't see any security as last went up in Dallas at all.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go in, if you're going to poke the bear, you better go in with strong security.
Right.
And it's frankly, it's irresponsible not to have strong security when you go into do something like that.
Yeah.
So now Nick Shirley has absolutely every right to go in and cover whatever he's covering. For his own safety, though, he needs security.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a protest anywhere in the country where there's an enclave like that of Islamists, you need to go in with strong security, not just for yourself, but also for the people that are going to go with you as attendees.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, we're getting into this very,
But why should it have to happen like that?
Right.
Yeah. President Trump should be taking care of that.
Yeah. That's why we voted for him. I mean, and again, this is the answer to his question. I mean, he's looking around saying, you know, what's going on? Why do people not love me anymore? And it's like, well, dude, here's an opportunity to do what we have been begging you to do the whole time.
Right.
Really. And like,
all in one big swoop, right? You've got all the leftist organizations that are funding this stuff. And actually credit to Owen Schroyer. He put out a video today talking about this is Pam Bondi's fault. The fact that there are still these leftist networks, which it's sort of a Hydra thing, right? It's almost impossible to really crack down on every form of communication. But obviously there are websites and there are Telegram groups where people inside ICE or people with knowledge of ICE's movement are leaking ICE's movements to these activist groups who are there on call to go out and protest and do exactly what this woman was doing. So that's also on Trump and his DOJ, is to get rid of these networks that are not engaged in peaceful protesting, not engaged in something protected by the First Amendment. They're engaged in obstructing lawful law enforcement activities, which is not legal and should be stopped.
Or, like with Antifa, all those years for the Trump administration the first time, and now they're going to do it again, are openly conspiring to suppress the free speech of other Americans through force and the threat of force.
Yep.
So why is Nick Sorter, you know, run out of
exactly.
Now there's no-go zones?
That's a great point.
So a conservative journalist can't go into those neighborhoods because it's a no-go zone now. It's an Islamicist no-go zone, basically,
right,
on American soil.
So it's almost like we need like a – because this reminds me of like the FACE Act, right, where the FACE Act was the law that said basically you can't block people from getting to a abortion clinic, right? And so, you know, we're sort of against it, but the fact is, if you have a right to free speech, if you have a right to the First Amendment, and somebody else is blocking that for you, that's illegal and has to be treated like a crime, which is what happens with the FACE Act, where they say you have a right to get an abortion. If somebody's impeding you, then they are now depriving you of your right. The people attacking the reporters today are depriving them of their First Amendment right and need to be treated like criminals.
Or insurrectionists. So a key prong of the Insurrection Act is the president determines that local officials either fail to protect the rights of Americans,
right,
the right to free speech, or directly obstruct and violate their rights, that's one of the triggers for the Insurrection Act.
So you
point to Nick Sorter being run out and say, here's an example.
Yep.
Right there.
100%.
Yeah.
I don't know what the argument against this would be, except maybe that, you know, they want to try to use all other options before invoking the Insurrection Act, but like clearly this qualifies for all these things.
That's the problem, is that I think it's pretty obvious what's happening is they're trying to convince President Trump, and probably successfully, that if he invokes the Insurrection Act, he'll lose the midterms. You know, that'll be seen as going too far, you know, but no, it'll actually be safer. Just like when President Eisenhower nationalized the National Guard of Arkansas and then sent in the 101st Airborne, that kept it peaceful.
Yeah.
Because he just stepped in, you know, and just smacked that big one on the table and said,
yeah,
you know, we're
right,
how we're doing this. Do you really want to dance with the 101st Airborne? The answer is no.
And you know what? People are probably telling Eisenhower, hey, this was a really, you know, bad idea. People are going to be really mad about this. And what was the outcome? Norman Rockwell paints it like a heroic intervention. Yeah, it's the little black girl flanked by the two soldiers. It became an icon of actually American positivity. So,
There was a Republican president doing the right thing for all the right reasons and using his power. He didn't invoke the Insurrection Act, I don't believe, but he didn't have to. He just nationalized the National Guard, and you're executing the laws of the Union. You know, was it the Civil Rights Act? No, that hasn't been passed yet. It was the Supreme Court had ruled.
Brown versus Education.
Yes, Brown versus Education. That they could attend school. He was protecting their rights. So,
I
think President Trump should invoke the Insurrection Act.
It makes
it clear. But start with, like I said, start with a very sane action of, hey, we're just going to protect, and this is actually making you safer. We're going to keep things safe.
Yep.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, if it just is shocking to me that nobody from the Democratic Party yesterday. I mean, maybe shocking is not the right word, but disappointing. I don't know what the right word is, but that nobody, Tim Walz, nobody came out and said, hey guys, this was a tragedy. Let's have cooler heads prevail. We've asked ICE to stop. We ask you to stop. You know, let's get a handle on this. They immediately went to, let's incite this. Let's throw gasoline on the fire. Right. Let's try to get another dead person so we can double down. I mean, it really is sick what these people are, what they prioritize and what they really want for this country.
Because you'll say, oh, don't give them an excuse to invoke the Insurrection Act, be peaceful.
Yeah.
But yet he still wants them to continue to go on and do what that woman was doing.
Yeah.
That led to her death.
Yeah.
And that's why, like I was talking with Alex about, I believe President Trump should hold press conferences where they just show all the video, all the footage of of ICE agents being rammed, being shot at, being assaulted all across the country, and say this is the context.
We need the video footage of that, because I do have a speech from Christine Noem where she's talking about, she says 100 ICE agents this year have been, at least 100 have been hit by cars. Right. So yeah, we do need to illustrate, because that's the other thing. I mean, there have been military style attacks against ICE. There have been shootings against ICE. There has been, they've been under attack so much. And even the right wing in the Trump administration doesn't make a big deal out of it for some reason. It's very strange.
Well, you had some lefties shooting at an ICE vehicle. It was an ICE vehicle, right? Or it was a detention center.
At the detention center and hitting
and killing
the,
an illegal alien.
Yeah.
But they were trying to kill ICE agents.
But it's just treated as, a shooting at an ICE facility today, and a guy was killed instead. And it's just like, okay, guys, this was an act of domestic terror where they're literally taking pot shots at federal agents. Like, this is a big deal. Why is it not being treated like a big deal?
Yeah, and that's where it's actually worse than what happened in 2020.
Right.
This is an escalation.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And they're clearly, expanding this and going harder at it. Now, the other thing that I know I see the left doing is they're trying to get Trump to throw the agent under the bus. Yeah. They're saying, well, maybe this was a rogue agent. Maybe he just needs to be punished, which obviously is another strategy where they want ICE agents out there going, I'm not going to fight because my guys aren't going to have my back. They'll still send me to jail. And so I'm glad that J.D. Vance and others from the Trump administration have come out forcefully just saying, nope, this guy was right to shoot. He was under threat of death. He was defending himself. End of story. That's the right position to take.
What should have happened on all sides but didn't is, hey, we're investigating this. Until then, it's an active investigation, no comment. But both sides didn't do that.
It hasn't been like that for 20 years, man.
Yeah, this is clear murder, right? So that forced the Trump administration to stand up for the guy. They had to.
But they had to, right? Because you cannot send the message to ICE agents.
No.
If a lefty tries to kill you, you have to let them. Like, that's what they're trying to get the Trump administration the signal to send, right?
Right, yeah. So they want, I believe that they're going to continue to provoke, and they want more of this. Rinse, repeat.
Absolutely.
And that's why you can't do half measures. And it's not going to, you will lose the midterms if you don't do the right thing and take decisive, competent action that shows the American people that you're serious. Otherwise, all of us who watched him not do what he should have done in 2020 are now looking at the same thing over again. So why would we be motivated to go out there and vote for, if President Trump is failing us and not doing what he should be doing, why should we vote for these squishy rhinos that he's endorsing?
Yeah.
We're going to.
The ball's in his court, man. He has, I mean, the quote that keeps going through my mind from Andy Frazella went viral a couple days ago, where he just said Trump is either going to go down in history as the guy who saved America or the guy who had a chance to save America and chose not to.
Right.
And it's that last part. He's choosing not to do all of these things he could be doing. That really is the depressing part.
He must do.
Yeah.
To win the midterms, he has to take decisive action. We're giving him the game plan. And so Ivan Raiklin and I are both speaking together up in New York in Long Island this weekend for the Stay Awake America tour. And we're going to go back. I'm going to go back with Ivan to the D.C. area. We're going to work together and work on a lot of this stuff.
Good.
So we'll be putting out some stuff. Hopefully it'll be useful.
Good. How can people find tickets to that event? Do you know?
Oh, you go to, I believe it's the stayawakeamerica.com.
Stay Awake America. You can search it. And of course you can go to oathkeepers.info, and follow Stuart Rhodes now his new X account at Real Oath Keepers. GivesandGo.com/oath is how you go to support their mission.
I'll post that link on my Real Oath Keepers account on X.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's
I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, get a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before their hatch. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. Please do share the links. Support us however you can with your word of mouth, telling people about what's going on. People got to know, man. People have to be informed, and they don't know what the hell's going on half the time. That's something that, I don't know, it's a topic of conversation on X quite a bit. One guy went viral basically saying, I've spent 2 weeks with the normies, and I regret to inform you, there's no thinking going on. There's no critical thought. They simply listen and believe, and they're happy to listen and believe. And of course, this is the phenomenon we've been battling forever here at InfoWars. How do you wake people up who are happy to be asleep? How do you get people to care about something beyond just knowing about it? I can inform you about all of the evil going on, but can I make you care? Not easily. Not easily at all. The bad news is we're surrounded by sheep. The good news is they follow the leader. And if we can take control of the systems of information, of the levers of power in this country in a real way, not in a, frankly up to this point, fabricated way, like technically the Republicans are in power, but doesn't feel like that, does it? But if we actually did take the levers of power, if we actually could seize the means of communication, then it would be our beliefs that everybody would conform to. So it's sort of a double-edged sword here. It sucks right now because all of the people who are in control of our information flows are all evil scumbags who use their power over the minds of the American people to enslave, distract, depress, or infuriate them. If it was instead used to inform and, you know, teach and empower people, then we'd be in a whole other situation. So our goal now, I think, is to not only help to encourage and accelerate the awakening that we've been witnessing and experiencing and on the forefront of, but make sure it goes in the correct direction. Because right now there are a lot of powerful forces doing everything they can to try to derail the awakening by taking it down a dark path of division and hatred and purity tests and spiraling. And so we'll talk about how we can do some of that. We'll also show you some videos from today. J.D. Vance making some very powerful statements. Kristi Noem also going through just some of the relentless attacks that ICE and other federal agents have been under since the second Trump inauguration, which, again, I think does need to be another focus of concern. Because as we've explained a million times, people in 2020 were convinced that black people were being hunted by the police, that even if they weren't killed by the police, they were constantly being harassed and abused in some way, that we don't even know how many black people have died at the hands of police because they lie about it anyway. I mean, they were in a delusional state, basically of imposed hallucination, where they were convinced they're fighting an evil that literally did not exist. But that's the power of the narrative. That's the power of extrapolating a single story to make it seem like it is representative of a wider trend, like they did with George Floyd. George Floyd was not it wasn't like a common event that just happened to be captured on video this time. It's like a totally unique event. And it was the only time it happened, and it really didn't even happen like the way it looked like it did, but it was weaponized and it was extrapolated and it became a trend that people thought they were fighting. They have no idea what's really going on. If we could have people actually making, you know, mainstream media content that explained what it was like to lose your kid to an illegal alien drunk driving, or trying to raise a kid on, you know, welfare while the Somali down the street gives $100,000. No one's telling these stories. No one cares about this stuff. The American people still, to a large degree, have to be force-fed information. Are you tired of stubborn fat that just won't budge no matter how hard you diet? Well, let me introduce you to Ultimate Burn, the most powerful science-backed fat-torching formula available today. Inside every capsule of Ultimate Burn is 200 milligrams of GlucoVantage dihydroberberine, a supercharged form of berberine that clinical studies show slashes insulin resistance, blocks new fat storage, and helps your body burn fat for fuel. Then we crank the heat with a massive 120 milligrams of Calorie Burn GP Grains of Paradise, packing a full 15 milligrams of active 6-paradol. Human trials prove it fires up your brown fat, ramping your daily calorie burn by up to 200 extra calories a day. Then we finish it with cinnamon polyphenols and bioperin to make sure every milligram hits your system hard. The result is faster fat loss, smaller waist, better blood sugar, and energy that lasts all day. Ignite your results with the real deal. Grab Ultimate Burn now and watch your body finally start burning fat like it's supposed to. Stock is limited. Get yours before it's gone. It's Ultimate Burn. Light the fire at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. We've got some breaking news here. Governor Waltz authorizes Minnesota National Guard to be staged and ready. So this is an update to the order yesterday, the warning order he issued yesterday. We have an update to it. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announced Thursday that the Minnesota National Guard has been authorized to be staged and ready in support of law enforcement if the need arises. The announcement comes out of an abundance of caution, according to the statement released by the Office of Governor Tim Walz. The National Guard remains ready if needed to help keep the peace, ensure public safety, and allow peaceful demonstrations, said the statement. Oh, not to keep out the federal agents? Sorry, I thought you were going to invoke the National Guard to fight the federal agents, Walz. Sort of backed off from that statement, huh? Minnesotans have met this moment. Thousands of people have peacefully made their voices heard. In Minnesota, thank you. We saw powerful peace, said Governor Walz. We have every reason to believe the peace will hold. Yesterday, I directed the National Guard to be ready should they be needed. They remain ready in the event that they are needed to help keep the peace, ensure public safety, and allow for peaceful demonstrations. Okay. Will they get in the way if Trump sends troops of his own, or will they prevent ICE from carrying out their operations? I guess we'll see. I have to be honest, I'm having like legitimate flashbacks to 2020 and how all of this got started and how all of it started to grow. And it really does feel like an Ahmaud Arbery moment right here, where it's not the spark that sets off the conflagration, but sort of a flare up. It's just a little flare up letting you know that there's kindling here ready to go up. And so same with Ahmaud Arbery, you know, for a couple years, you don't have the Black Lives Matter very active. You don't have the networks out, you know, marching and giving orders. And so you have the Ahmaud Arbery situation, and you have a moment, you have a chance for those networks to kind of reconfigure themselves, get back in contact with their old, you know, activists and start determining, okay, how many people do we have here? How many people do we have here? Where can we move resources from here to there? And you start to sort of reconfigure these networks, reestablish these networks to where then the next big thing that happens, that's when you really hit the ground running. That's how it feels to me right now. We saw some protests in Seattle. There's some protests in Portland, in New York, you know, the big liberal hotspots had their easily predictable, you know, uprisings last night. But it doesn't seem to have been sustained into today to any large degree. It doesn't seem like it has that snowball rolling down the hill effect that we saw after George Floyd. Of course, George Floyd also had the fact that people were locked in their room, locked in their homes because of COVID for several months, you know, prior to this. So people were going out to protest just because it was an excuse. They had permission to go outside finally. So, you know, all of the slaves finally got permission to go outside of their own homes and took that opportunity. Guess nobody told them that, yes, you could always go outside your home. There was no enforcement mechanism for any of that. Meanwhile, what's going to be the next? What's going to be the next big thing? And if it doesn't arise naturally, will it be false flagged into existence? I'm not sure, but I really, I'm feeling like we're back in those days. And that was a very interesting time for me personally. I started doing American Journal in 2021. So throughout all of 2020, it feels like every single night I'd be up till like 4 a.m. just trying to capture all of the videos that were coming out on a nightly basis. I don't know if you guys remember this. I don't know if you guys were as in the mix back then. But I mean, every single night I would have 10 different live streams open at once in 10 different cities, 10 different videos of mobs roving through downtowns, lighting things on fire. And unless you were doing that, like what I just described, unless you were actually actively, manically trying to like capture everything that was happening at once, you probably have no idea how crazy it was. Because, you know, every night there would be probably whatever, like 10 to 12 videos that would go viral, that would be really, you know, intense things, buildings burning or people being assaulted or, right. To me, one of the most sickening images was when some guy had stolen a horse and was like riding a horse down the highway, and the horse was like running and ended up like dying basically because they ran it until it died. I mean, it was just insane. It was insane. Every night there were like horses on the freeway and police kneeling while their precincts were burning. I mean, it was insane. But then you would think that you're getting a good, you know, cross section of everything going on because you're seeing all these videos every single night. But then I would like open up a live stream of some random, you know, little YouTuber in San Antonio, and you tune in and it's this group of people just going around breaking windows in a hotel. And it's like, if I didn't tune into that particular live stream at that particular time, I would have never seen it, would have never captured it. So despite the overwhelming amount of footage and video and images that you did see, it was probably 1/100th of what was actually going on, 1/1000th of the damage that was actually being done that went totally uncaptured, totally unreported on. And I just hope that we don't have some sort of, you know, normalcy bias reversion to the mean thing where we forget what 2020 was like. I mean, obviously for the left and the liberals, they have a reason, an ulterior motive to pretending like they don't remember. You see it all the time, lefties online saying things like, oh, so like, a couple flags got burned in 2020. It wasn't that big of a deal. 2020 wasn't that crazy. So a couple of protests broke out in a couple of cities. Yeah, that was no big deal. I mean, they're very actively trying to gaslight you right now, right? Nobody was ever locked down. Nobody was ever kept in their home. Nobody ever lost their job because of COVID. There was no damage done because of Black Lives Matter. You had a couple, you know, flare-ups here or there. But overall, it was a peaceful movement, fiery but peaceful. And it was good and wonderful and loving. Don't let them bury 2020. Don't let them gaslight you into forgetting the insurrection, the chaos, the rebellion, the reign of terror that we lived through in 2020. Don't let them gaslight you, folks.
Trump also has put this out from Truth Social. Biden ignored the housing market and instead was immersed with high crime, open border, runaway inflation, the Afghanistan disaster, and a military that he left in chaos and confusion. Everything was broken, but I, as president of the United States, have already fixed it. Now, I'm sorry, but I love him. As much crap as we talk about Trump, he issues proclamations like a Roman emperor, and I love it. How can you not love it? Why is he the only one that talks like this? Why are all of our politicians not issuing proclamations like this? I love it. Everything was broken, but I, as president of the United States, have already fixed it. Now I am giving special attention to the housing market because I choose not to sell Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in my first term. Because I chose not to sell Fannie Mac and Freddie whatever in the first term, a truly great decision, and against the advice of the experts, it is now worth many times that amount, an absolute fortune, and has $200 billion in cash. Well, send it to Ukraine immediately. $200 billion? I mean, that could fund a Somali daycare for a week and a half. Don't you love when you get these big windfalls that could make up a quarter of the fraud from one community in one city? Sorry, what are we saying? $20 billion in mortgage bonds. This will drive mortgage rates down, monthly payments down, and make the cost of owning a home more affordable. It is one of my many steps in restoring affordability, something that the Biden administration absolutely destroyed. We are bringing back the American dream that was destroyed by the last administration. Make America great again. I get that Trump loves talking crap about Biden, and I don't blame him for that. But there's part of it is like, okay, yeah, Biden didn't help. Like, the problems that we want you to solve are systemic issues that have been around for decades. And I feel like Trump is hyper-focused on blaming Biden for everything. It's like, dude, the housing market has been systematically degraded for decades. Anyway, I actually like that. He is doing a lot of great stuff to help make homes more affordable. He's putting forward legislation to stop BlackRock and Blackstone and private equity entities from buying up family homes. That is a huge thing he should be doing. I just think it's kind of funny that he blames everything on Biden. It's like, we get it, dude. Biden sucked. Trust us. We know Biden sucked. But, these problems did exist for a long time previous to that, but that's okay. That's okay. We understand where he's coming from. I want to go to some videos here of some statements made by the Trump administration. J.D. Vance, once again, I can't help but love J.D. Vance. I can't help but feel like he is the real deal. And I know all of the reasons to doubt him. I know all of the background that one would care to know about Mr. J.D. Vance, but nobody else in the American political structure right now even comes within 1,000 feet of reaching J.D. Vance's political acumen at this moment. His ability to make the arguments that need to be made in a way that is compelling and convincing, that he seems to be a bulwark against some of the more extravagant warmongering excesses of Trump's desires. He doesn't want to start overseas wars. He doesn't want to see American power squandered. And he's often out here sort of going, look, guys, I know what you're saying, but like, I'm trying to keep things on the track. If he really is faking it, then he's the best actor the world has ever seen. And maybe that's the case. Maybe it is. But in a world of Lindsey Grahams and, hell, Marco Rubio's, I mean, I trust J.D. Vance more than Marco Rubio, for sure. And Marco Rubio's been saying a lot of the right stuff, but not even in a way as powerfully as J.D. Vance is. So anyway, all this is to say he's exactly right about what he says here. He is basically exactly right about everything he ever comes out in public saying, and he's going toe-to-toe with people on X, forcefully pushing back against the false narratives. And He really is unparalleled when it comes to arguing for our side in public from a huge stage. Remember, when like 3 weeks ago, there was a big story about the young Republicans having a group chat that was kind of spicy, and everybody on the right, oh, we disavow Nazis. We can't have Nazis in our rank. And J.D. Vance was the only one going, guys, this is a hit job. Don't fall for it. Stop disavowing our young people, you idiots. Nobody else said that. Anywhere near J.D. Vance, no congressman said it. Nobody from the Trump administration said it. J.D. Vance was out there forcefully making that argument. So that's what I think about J.D. Vance. And once again, he shows that he is the man for the moment. Let's go to, I have a lot of these. Let's go to clip 17 first. Let's go to clip 17 first. Here's J.D. Vance doing a press conference where he very forcefully pushes back against the fake news narratives surrounding the shooting in Minneapolis yesterday. Let's watch.
People in this room have been lying about this attack. She was trying to ram this guy with her car. He shot back. He defended himself. He's already been seriously wounded in law enforcement operations before, and everybody who's been repeating the lie that this is some innocent woman who was out for a drive in Minneapolis when a law enforcement officer shot at her, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Every single one of you. Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. No waffling, no, you know, arguing on their ground. No, well, I understand this may be a sensitive time for people, right? I mean, that's what you'd get from any other. Well, we're looking into it, and the last thing we want is ICE hurting American citizens, and we'll do everything we can. We have instituted a review process. We have placed the shooter who murdered that woman under arrest for the time being. We'll get to the bottom of this, but we always support our ICE agent. Write this like waffly nonsense. No, J.D. Vance is showing you the way, Republicans. You go out, you say this woman tried to run an officer over. He shot back in self-defense. Anybody saying otherwise is lying to you, and that includes you and you and you, you scumbags. That's how this needs to be handled, because that's the truth. Let's go to another video from Vance, clip 15 here. Rather, let's go to 16. This is when J.D. Vance absolutely bodied his old rival for the vice presidency, Tim Walz. Let's watch.
I think we may be in that moment now. Can you comment on his rhetoric and Mayor Jacob Frey and whether they want to see unrest in Minneapolis?
Well, it's very tough rhetoric from a guy who just quit because his fraudulent activities have been uncovered. Look, Tim Walz is a joke. His entire administration has been a joke. The idea that he's some sort of freedom fighter, he's not. He's a guy who has enabled fraud and maybe, in fact, has participated in fraud. That's what this new assistant attorney general position is going to find out. I don't care what Tim Walz says. I care about getting to the bottom of this fraud for the American people, and I care about enforcing the nation's immigration laws. That's what we're going to stay focused on.
Do it, J.D. Vance. Do it. Call him a retard. Call Tim Walz a retard right now. I'm the little devil on J.D. Vance's shoulder. Call Tim Walz a retard into the microphone. J.D. Vance, do it. Break the mold. You can tell he wants to. You can tell he really wants to. And he's exactly right. Tim Walz is a joke. He's an absolute joke. I did hear something interesting. I wish I could remember who said this so I could give him credit. But it was Nick Shirley. Nick Shirley actually was doing an interview. And he had a great point. He said, why do you think Kamala Harris picked Tim Walz? Why do you think she picked this guy? Well, the moment he was picked, he raised $35 million for her campaign that day. Maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe picking Tim Walz gave you access to tens of millions of dollars of fraudulently obtained Somali daycare money that you could immediately inject into your campaign, since they didn't have any ideas or rhetoric or charismatic people running. All they had was paying people to vote for them or to say they'd vote for them, paying celebrities to appear in their events. So they needed that money. That was the most important thing. And you also have to wonder if there wasn't some sort of Russiagate-style Clinton operation where they thought, all right, we'll pick Tim Walz. That way, when he's vice president, we can try to cover up all this fraud stuff. We need the guy who did the fraud in power so we can cover up the fraud. Kind of like they expected Hillary Clinton to win to cover up all the Russiagate stuff. That's why they were so open and blatant about it. But I think there's something to that. The fact that, Tim Walz is such an incredible, obtainer of money. He's so good at soliciting donations. Wonder why he's so good at that when he's so bad at everything else. Let's go to clip number 15 now. J.D. Vance announces that the Trump administration will be starting a new office to investigate fraud. Wonder if a certain show on InfoWars suggested they do exactly that 3 days ago. Let's watch clip 16.
If you're a young parent struggling to afford childcare in the United States of America, there are programs that we have to make it easier for your kids to get in daycare, for your kids to get in preschool. Those programs should go to American citizens, not be defrauded by Somali immigrants and others. Make it hard for you to get the access to the resources you need. But number two, making it easier for people who shouldn't even be in this country to fleece the United States and our taxpayers to begin with. We have actually activated a major interagency task force to make it possible to get to the heart of this fraud. We have Department of Agriculture resources that are focused on SNAP fraud so that people who need food benefits can get them, but illegal aliens and other fraudsters don't. We have over 1,500 subpoenas that the Department of Justice has issued to get to the heart of the fraud ring. We've done almost 100 indictments, mostly Somali immigrants, but also a few others. And, of course, we're looking in with broad investigatory authority to a number of the instances of wrongdoing that we've seen in Minneapolis. But we also want to expand this. We know that the fraud isn't just happening in Minneapolis. It's also happening in states like Ohio. It's happening in states like California. And so what we're doing in order to help coordinate this remarkable interagency effort from the Trump administration, but also to make sure that we prosecute the bad guys and do it as swiftly and efficiently as possible, is we are creating a new assistant attorney general position who will have nationwide jurisdiction over the issue of fraud. Now, of course, that person's efforts will start and focus primarily in Minnesota, but it is going to be a nationwide effort because, unfortunately, the American people have been defrauded in a very nationwide way.
So it seems like, I mean, this is a good thing. This is a very good thing. It seems like sort of a rehash of what we went through with DOGE, only this time, hopefully, there will be a more law and order aspect to this. You know, DOGE was almost just like an internal audit of the government with the idea of, you know, cutting waste and cutting spending at the source. No, this needs to be treated like a law enforcement operation. Fraud is theft, not a mistake. It's not an accident. It's not just systems, you know, running without oversight. This is deliberate theft of taxpayer money. Now, our system is not really. Exactly. The mask whispering to J.D. Vance, call him a retard. Do it. We're going to get more into this on the other side. We've got Kristi Noem, who makes very powerful statements. Again, I like seeing the way the Trump administration is responding to this. It does show a very different mindset than the Trump administration of the past. That is one thing that's very different about 2020. I mean, it's been one day since the shooting, and they are basically not giving an inch. They're like, no, we're not stopping the ICE operations going on in Minneapolis. We're not apologizing for this guy defending himself. We're not, you know, doing anything that you want us to do. We're doubling down. We're in the right. We're the ones acting lawfully here, and any opposition to that can go eat dirt. I mean, that's the right response. Let's go even harder. Let's double down on this. Let's make these people pay. Not because we don't like them. Not because we want vengeance or have some, you know, desire just to see our enemies suffer. Because you have an obligation and a responsibility as the leaders of this country to maintain law and order. You have to do this. It's just a fact of reality. You have to go after these people. You have to teach them a lesson. You have to teach these, frankly, idiot middle-aged women that they are not immortal heroes in a Marvel movie. They're dysfunctional robots that need to be reprogrammed to go home and stop trying to get in the way of military activity
as law enforcement goes and tries to round up criminals, don't try to drive your car into them, you absolute idiots. Like, they think they can get away with this because they keep getting away with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Some up-to-the-minute updates as to what's going on in Minneapolis, as it looks like the conflict is popping off again. The latest is that Tim Walz has
placed the National Guard on standby and at the ready to keep the peace. And it looks like some violence is breaking out. Some guards, some ICE agents, or DHS agents, I guess is what they are technically, had some stuff thrown at them, and they chase the guy down and arrest him. But it looks like the protests are starting to grow, and even this early on in the evening, it's already getting a little bit violent. The FBI, meanwhile, has taken over the Minneapolis ICE terror attack investigation after a liberal terrorist was shot. The Minneapolis investigators have withdrawn from the scene. They have no access to materials or the scene evidence. So, again, it does look like the federal agencies are stepping in and taking over control there, which is good to see. But just remember, there were already huge protests planned for this Saturday to protest against Trump's actions in Venezuela, DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, as well as the PSL, which I can never remember what it stands for, something about liberation. But two very large nationwide leftist groups were already planning big demonstrations this Saturday in major U.S. cities. So I guarantee you those demonstrations are now being folded into anti-ICE demonstrations, and we'll probably see the temperature simmer until this weekend when it will all boil over. Here you see the DHS agents run this guy down. There's the guy in the orange jacket that threw something. Little tip, if you're going to assault federal agents, it's best not to wear neon colors that are easily identifiable as a big fat man. Okay, a little pro tip for you there. You also might not want to get into a running contest with ICE agents. You know they've been waiting for this, right? You know you just gave them an excuse to go after you, like throwing steak to a dog. Like, that's exactly what they want, you absolute moron. So, again, it looks like people are paying the price for attacking ICE agents already as they gather in Minneapolis. So, expect things to continue to, you know, get worse, essentially. I'm going to go to a few videos here. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the only way that you support us in our mission to bring you the truth and to help to guide the awakening and the corresponding stupidity. I mean, it seems like the more people wake up, the more other people just delve even further into the pit of mind control. So if you're one of those people that has pulled yourself out of the darkness into the sunlight and want to see more people exposed to the truth of how our world works and who controls it and what their motivations are, then I hope that you can support us in spreading that message by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is the only way that we get funding, period. That's it. Thealexjonesstore.com. If you go there, if you get a product, not only will it improve your own life, not only is it going to be an incredibly, you know, impressive and you know, top-selling product anyway, you're going to get it at a massive discount, and you're going to support us and keep us on the air. It's really a win-win-win-win-win situation, and these really are the best products on earth, and you hear our callers call in. We don't tell people to plug. We really don't, but these products are the type of thing that once you use them, you want to tell people about. If you start using our tallow, guess what you're going to be talking about with all your friends from now on? Guess what your friends are going to want to talk about? Oh, man, this is so good. How did you make this? Well, let me tell you about beef tallow, right? Oh, you're still cooking in seed oils? You haven't heard about tallow yet? Come on, man. This is the 21st century. We're not cooking with industrial runoff anymore. We're cooking with pure tallow. Where have you been? I'm just telling you, these products are incredible. So even if they weren't, I would encourage you to go buy them because we need your support, and we don't just ask for your money. We actually give you an incredible product in return. But, you know, I'd be asking you to go there even if we didn't exist, you still would want these products. Even if you don't like us, you still are going to like the products. So, you know, they make good gifts for info warriors. You can also find gifts for non-info warriors. You know, they don't have to know where you got it from. Go to thealexjonesstore.com, support us, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And now I want to go to a couple videos here. I think we'll start with clip 14. This woman is having a bit of a revelation, but I don't think she realizes it yet. She is resisting admirably, like really in a powerful way. She is resisting understanding reality, even when it is, you know, slapping her in the face. And it's in, this is interesting to see. It's somebody whose fantastical world has just imploded upon itself, and she's trying to come to terms with that while still maintaining the illusion that has now been destroyed. It's fascinating stuff. So here's a woman who is completely lying about the situation yesterday, about the shooting yesterday, but also trying to justify the woman's actions because she is exactly the type of woman like the woman who died yesterday. This is a fascinating sort of anthropological observation we can make here with this woman. Let's watch this shark-eyed idiot try to come to terms with the fact that she's in the real world interrupting real dangerous situations. Let's watch.
All right, you guys, I just watched the video of the woman in Minneapolis. Don't go watch it, okay, if you don't think you can handle it. It is the most frightening thing I have seen in a long time. This woman was driving away in her car, and they put their weapon in there and hit her in the face multiple times. This is not right. This was not self-defense. This was an execution. I am shocked because only a few weeks ago, I was driving around this town that I live in Charlotte, doing very similar things, looking for ICE agents, trying to prevent them from kidnapping people off the street. And there was a lot of other people out there doing that on a daily basis, as is our right to drive around the streets of our city. It's frightening right now. Please be peaceful in your protests and don't give them any excuse, because doesn't look like they need any right now. I cannot believe that they just took this woman's life, a U.S. citizen, for no reason.
Yeah, she's lying. She's lying, and she knows she's lying. It's kind of funny, actually, her to be, to misrepresent what happened and then go, but don't go watch the video. It's too intense. You're not going to want to watch it. Let me describe it to you. The woman was driving away when the man just shot her in the face for no reason. Just an abject lie, just an obvious lie. But you do have to wonder, like, does she believe what she's saying? She might. These people, I think, might actually be genuinely delusional. I mean, what type of person goes driving around trying to intercede in ICE activity as a woman like this? She's like, I was terrified because I was doing the same thing. Okay, well, then you're also an idiot. You do not have a right to interfere with law enforcement activities. And anybody telling you that you do is lying to you and trying to get you killed or arrested. That's one that she just straight up says, you have a legal right to do this. No, you don't. There is a bright red line between protesting, speaking out, even standing by during a law enforcement activity, and then actively obstructing a law enforcement activity. You do not have a right to drive your car in front of a cop car to deliberately stop them from chasing a criminal. You do not have a right to stick your foot out and trip the cop while he's chasing a criminal down the street. You don't have a right to drive your car into an ICE operation and start causing trouble, and then try to hit the guy with the car. What is wrong with you? And I ask that rhetorically, because I know exactly what's wrong with him. I thought this was put very well by ex-user Ubzu, U-U-B-Z-U is the name. And they point out, fundamentally, the issue is that these people are not afraid of consequences for anything that they do.
Their entire world model is built on fiction. They have been allowed to LARP as the Rebel Alliance for decades, and it has only gotten worse because the only cure for playing pretend is contact with reality. The administration must not back down. It must escalate. They will stop when they are afraid to interfere with law enforcement officers, not when they pretend to be afraid, as they already do and have done, when they're actually afraid. A vehicle is a deadly weapon. If you point it at an LEO and start driving, or even if you attempt to flee the scene inside your deadly weapon to use it, who knows how and who knows when on somebody else, then you should die. That is the correct and just outcome for the choice you made to disregard the law, to disregard the social order, to disregard physics, to disregard reality. This should be repeated as many times as necessary until people stop doing it. And this is the thing. If these people want to play act like they're the French resistance standing up against the Nazis, they're only allowed to do that because we're so not Nazi-like. Because our system is so unbelievably patient and merciful with these people. Because it's built on the assumption that people doing this type of stuff are acting in good faith, which is not a correct assumption to make these days. Right? Like, we have these systems that are built on the assumption with the, you know, internalized logic that people are generally good, that, you know, when people get caught, then the authorities are going to want to bring them to justice, that when people are victimized, that they will want the perpetrator to be brought to justice. Like, all of these assumptions, or that, you know, when a person commits a crime, that they're doing something that's abhorrent to the people around them, and that, you know, if their family knew what they were up to, they wouldn't go along with it or cover it up, but rather recognize they have a social obligation to, you know, turn them in. But that's not the world that we live in anymore, right? We have these systems set up. So like, okay, somebody steals from a shop, then they get arrested, and then they get given a lawyer because we know that, you know, people in power might want to abuse that power and arrest people unfairly. So we don't want them to let, you know, let that happen. So we have all these protections against, you know, abuse from the state, against the people that haven't been, declared guilty yet. But like, that's not really the world that we live in anymore. Now we're in a world of Somali pirate gangs setting up shop and working with the Democrats in power to steal a bunch of money. And then when it's discovered, the people whose money has been stolen, the taxpayers who have been screwed over, have been trained to think that it's racist to oppose being robbed. And it's just, this whole system is just crumbling under the weight of the stupidity and immorality and, you know, collective animosity of all these various groups that shouldn't even be in our country in the first place. Yeah, this is a big problem. And so because we have these protections that are meant to limit the activity of the government, which are good in a civilization of moral, upright, and intelligent people, it actually becomes a barrier to safety and a barrier to order and a barrier to getting rid of abuse in a society that is immoral and conniving and, you know, full of scam artists. And so the people, the left uses the restrictions on the government that are there for good reason, but they abuse them. They take advantage of them. They, like, you know, take something that it's, you know, it's the same thing that we talk about forever, right? Oh, we have a loophole here where if you're disabled, we let you park close to the store and we reserve a spot for you and you alone. And half the people in our country now see that as, oh, if I can just get a wheelchair sticker, then I get to park there. And I'm the smart one and you're all idiots for not figuring this out. And it's like, well, now our system can't operate anymore. It's just that mindset, but applied to like law and order on a massive scale. And so you've got cops that are treating people in this hands-off way on the assumption that, well, these are American citizens that are protesting and they have a right to do that. And we might disagree, but they, you know, have their viewpoint. It's not really the world that we live in. We have a bunch of psychopaths that have been indoctrinated into a insane worldview of mass formation psychosis that they're all just rabid morons cannibalizing their own society and leaving us totally protectionless at the end of it. So it's almost like we're getting screwed over now by the limitations on police that are there for a good reason. So we're either going to lose the limitations on police because we actually want law and order, or the chaos is going to win and it's not going to matter anyway. So, you know, maybe now is the time to just stop taking these people at their word. Stop pretending like they have valid concerns and are fellow Americans protesting legitimate grievances. They're foreign operatives waving foreign flags in our country. Why do we extend them any mercy, any benefit of the doubt? Why do we have any, you know, due process for any of these people? We're at war and these are enemy combatants. That's how we should be treating them. And yes, that includes American traitors, quislings, turncoats who are with the foreigners, with the foreign elements, with the anarchists and agents of chaos. They are also our enemies. And they're not, you know, just well-intentioned, God-fearing Americans that we differ from. No, they're subversive elements that are destroying our country from the inside and do not deserve the protections that our Constitution extends to well-meaning, well-behaved, beneficent, and good people that our Constitution is meant to serve and protect and was written for. Anyway, that's my ramble about that. Let's go to clip number eight here, because we just heard the woman with the eyes of a shark completely lie about what happened, even though you can see the video for yourself, claiming that the woman was just trying to drive away when they shot her for no reason at all. Complete lie. Here's Kristi Noem explaining what actually happened in the lead up to the deadly shooting yesterday. Let's watch.
If you remember in that operation, what happened was our officers were out trying to get a car stuck out of the snow when they were surrounded and assaulted and blocked in by protesters that were inciting.
The officer was following his training.
He did follow his training because of an individual that was
point blank into a driver's window. Is that part of the training? Is that, how is that self-defense?
This is an experienced officer who followed his training, and we will continue to let the investigation unfold into the individual and continue to follow the procedures and policies that happen in these use of force cases. But let's remember the events that surrounded what happened yesterday on that tragic situation was that these individuals had followed our officers all day, had harassed them, had blocked them in. They were impeding our law enforcement operations, which is against the law. And when they demanded and commanded her to get out of her vehicle several times, she did not. So we'll continue to allow this process to unfold and recognize that these law enforcement officers every single day put their lives on the line. They go out and do their jobs. They go out and...
Domestic terrorist, though, without an
this was an act of domestic terrorism, which is perpetuating
no into who she was or what she was about. And yet now you're saying
these policies and procedures that follow a use of force situation like this are continuing to be put in place. So this is standard operating procedure after every use of force situation is that we follow these procedures and protocols. This situation is no different.
Again, I really do like seeing the firm stand that the Trump administration is taking. I give them, you know, an A-plus for this response, honestly. I'd like to see the Insurrection Act invoked. Maybe an A. Maybe an A-plus would be a little bit more hardcore, but I really don't have anything to complain about from J.D. Vance to Kristi Noem. They're very forthright and clear about it. They're not stoking the flames of division, really. They're just going, hey, look, this is the law. Woman shouldn't have tried to run over an ICE agent with her car. That was a bad idea. It sucks she got killed. It really does, but it's her fault. Sorry. It's just how it is. And by the way, yeah, this ICE agent actually was run over already by a car and was dragged 300 feet in a, attempted arrest a little while ago while AT&T stores boarded up in Minneapolis. Yeah, we're getting some footage coming in here. Apparently, Border Patrol Commander Bovino was just assaulted by leftists on the streets of Minneapolis. We'll go to that video in just a second. I do want to finish up with Noem here. Kristi Noem goes through a few other times that ICE has had their vehicles rammed. I think we need to do it. I think I'll do it tonight. And tomorrow, we'll have a compilation and we'll have a full rundown. Maybe I'll do it right now. Maybe I'll do it on Grok right now while Kristi Noem's talking. Let's go to clip number nine. Kristi Noem on the number of vehicle attacks that ICE has been subjected to in the past year. Let's watch.
This vehicle was used to hit this officer. It was used as a weapon, and the officer feels as though his life was in jeopardy. It was used to perpetuate a violent act that this officer took action to protect himself and to protect his fellow law enforcement officers. So we'll let this continue to go forward and follow the same policies and procedures that every use of force situation does. But we've had almost over 100 times that these vehicles have been used to ram law enforcement officers and to do damage and to harm them. When you take an action and use a weapon to harm someone and to incite violence against them and try to cause them injury or death, then it needs to be labeled exactly what it was.
Yes, so she's exactly right. Again, the Trump administration really does need to come out. I mean, they just need to make a bigger deal out of this. They need to make a bigger deal out of the individual instances when they happen. And then they need to tell, like, spell out to the American people that this is a trend, that this is a phenomenon, that this is a problem that is continuing to exist, not just a flare up once. Oh, wow, crazy guy shot at ICE. Oh, well, that's crazy anyway. And then you just move on. No. There's a concerted efforts to not just demonize ICE and the staccatic terrorism, encouraging people to attack ICE, and then the setting up the situation where ICE is less safe by forcing them to remove their mask or forcing them to stop using non-lethal, you know, weapons to disperse crowds. Like, they're doing everything they can to make ICE less safe, to encourage attacks against them, and the attacks are coming and have been coming. So this is just literally in the last 45 seconds. That clip was 45 seconds. It took me 45 seconds to do this. I just asked Grok, list all attacks on ICE agents this year, and I can even know that he's missing, that they're missing some here, but DHS officials report 275 total assaults on ICE personnel in 2025. That is a 1,300% increase from the year before. And looks like they start in June. So again, I would, you know, Grok has problems with this. I don't know why. It never goes far back enough, but starting in June, you had a gang member brutally beat an ICE agent during an arrest. Suspect Robert Carlos Munez dragged ICE agent Jonathan Ross around 100 yards with his vehicle. It's 300 feet. That's the same officer who was almost run over by a car again and who fired on the woman in Alvarado, Texas. This was the big one that I talk about all the time. 11 assailants ambushed officers at an ICE facility. Fireworks, vandalism, and shooting. Can we not get my screen, guys? Rioters assaulted ICE agents at a facility in Portland, Oregon. Gunfire barrage at Border Patrol facility in McAllen, Texas, also in July. In September, suspect Silviero Villegas Gonzalez dragged an ICE agent with a car during a stop, traffic stop. Gunman Joshua John shot at ICE facility in September. Two separate vehicle rammings happened during Operation Midway Blitz in October. A suspect struck an ICE officer in the face with a metal coffee cup in Houston. Multiple incidents of spitting, kicking, biting, throwing rocks, Molotov cocktails during arrests throughout 2025. Total reported assaults, 238, up from just 19 in 2024, with a total reported assault number of 275. Things they didn't mention are stuff like happened 2 days ago, where an ICE agent was assaulted at his home by a man with an AR-15 who'd apparently looked up where this guy lived and went to his house to assault him. It doesn't mention any of the giant riots that happened in California earlier this year when ICE was deployed and people were throwing, you know, concrete bricks at police cars that were driving 60 miles an hour. This has been a trend. The mainstream media doesn't report it as a trend, so the American people don't see it as a trend. It's up to the Trump White House to make the argument. This is a trend, and it's a trend that needs to be confronted and fixed.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body to be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits. Improves anaerobic capacity and power output. May increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits. Improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Folks, things are already getting spicy in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Nick Sartor had to flee the city yesterday. He wrote this around midnight last night. For the first time ever, I've had to be evacuated out of an American city. Two security guards weren't nearly enough to fend off the mob. Minneapolis PD hung up on me, forcing us to run away while being chased by car. Minneapolis is officially under mob rule. I'm so beyond frustrated. We absolutely cannot let these terrorists win. He's absolutely right. Of course, he's back today to capture some of the conflict that's going on. Apparently, Border Patrol Commander Bovino, who is very famous and sort of gone viral multiple times this year, as he's a very unapologetic enforcer of the law, he apparently has been assaulted by leftists. We just got this video in. Nick Sartor just posted it. Let's watch. This just went down in Minneapolis. Let's go ahead and keep the audio down since we don't know. So is that Bovino himself right there? So apparently protesters getting in the way, coming to push him. And it sort of breaks out into an all-out scuffle here. As they... you know, they're Luke Skywalker and he's Darth Vader, okay? They're being heroes. You know, they're standing up against the big bad Empire, just like their hero Rey, okay? Their hero Rey from the new Star Wars movies. This is what she would be doing, okay? These are stormtroopers after all right? Guys in the army uniforms are the bad guys, unless, of course, they're arresting you for opening your business during COVID. Then they're the good guys and you have to submit to him. But now they're the bad guys. They're like the stormtroopers and the fat lesbians are Rey from Star Wars, okay? This is just like that scene from Star Wars. You guys remember that? Guys remember that? Remember when they were on the casino planet? That's just what this is like. See, and... this is a serious situation. Why am I joking about it? Because that's how these people see the world. It's literally what they think they're doing. That's how they perceive this. I'm trying to explain to you that we're dealing with children, with big babies, big baby children that shouldn't be allowed to do things that are bad for them, even if they really want to. Okay? These people, unfortunately, somebody has told them that they're smart, that they know what's going on. Somebody has pumped them up to believe that they're anything other than what they are, which is just sort of mindless zombie apparatchiks of a global control grid that they couldn't possibly conceive of. I don't know. They have no idea this is going on. So Bovino is being assaulted. You know what they treat it like? You know what leftists treat protesting like is like a haunted house. It's like they want to go and they want to be scared, but they think that it's like a rule, like, okay, the guy with the chainsaw can't really attack you, right? They go there to be scared, to act like they're confronting something scary, to act like they're doing something powerful. But they only do it because they firmly believe that the rules say that you're not allowed to touch them. That the rules say you have to let them abuse you. Okay? the rules of the haunted house are, yeah, they can yell at you and they can spook you. They can't dare lay a hand on you. And so it's okay. And so you go in and you act, you feel scared and it's really exciting. And in this case, you get to post on Instagram and you act like you're the French resistance standing up against the big bad Nazis, knowing the whole time that there is pretty much a rule that they can't really touch you until they go one step too far, until they, you know, believe the lie and think, wait, we really are the good guys, really can get away with this, really are winning. And then they actually put their hand on an ICE agent and then they're taken to the ground and hauled away in cuffs. So that's reality hitting the fantasy, because we're dealing with a bunch of adult children who spend all day every day fantasizing about a lesbian witch coven in space passing on their magic through gene editing, and then they have to hit the real world and they're just completely out to sea. It's very sad. Very sad. It's a sad thing happening to them. The idiots.
In my kitchen, I cook what's right. Simple traditions, pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWars.
Wake up, folks. Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
You're tuned into the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Lots of things breaking right now. Lots of things happening around the world. Sticking with Minnesota, Minneapolis for the time being. Let's go to this Frontline's TPUSA video. Federal agents rush into anti-ICE crowd, arrest a man who threw a bottle at them. Agents were able to apprehend the suspect. This may be a different view of the video we saw earlier, but yeah, there are big crowds gathering at this ICE facility in Minneapolis. Even though the crowds are small now, they are starting to throw things at the ICE agents because, don't you know, they're the good guys. And this is exactly what Harry Potter would do. Let's watch. So there you see him starting to throw stuff, and the ICE agents decide not to let them do that anymore. And everybody flees. Yeah, so this is a different angle of the same one we just saw, I believe. Yeah, and this is all the people running away. And here come the guy, and there's the guy in the orange jacket thinking, oh, crap. Oh, whoopsie. And he goes down. He goes down. There's some big boys out protesting these days. I don't know where they get these corn-fed Midwest fellas, but something wrong with their brain. Let's go to clip number 11 here. Some freaking huge dude tried to swing on Border Patrol and got quickly railroaded by agents. And this is a big fella. There's a Goliath running around downtown Minneapolis. Let's go to clip 11. There you see the couple of the gremlins were wobbling away. And then this guy takes like five people to take him down. But he's not getting up anytime soon. Again, what do you think you're doing? Like, and even this, like, do you know of any idea how nice these people are being? How entitled do you have to be to think that you should be allowed to like run up to a literal battalion of soldiers and just like punch one of them in the face and you think you're gonna get away with it? It's honestly ridiculous that they don't just like beat you to a pulp right there. It's so crazy that these chihuahuas go growling and barking into a gathering of pit bulls and then, you know, expect to get away with it. And they do, to the most part. Like, that's really kind of the saddest thing. If you're one of these people getting arrested, you have failed a you know, Darwinian checkpoint. If you, as this giant galoot of a man, has the impulse and then follows that impulse to wade into a battalion of soldiers and try to fight them, like, you're actually a danger to yourself and others. You have failed an evolutionary prerequisite. And your continuing existence is anathema to the course of nature, unfortunately. It's just the temerity of these people. And again, it's like they just know that they're protected by the laws of the United States. Yeah, this is a reenactment here. Yeah, this is, you know, at Trump is fascist at bluesky.com, going toe to toe with Greg Bovino of the ICE facility. Haha, Greg, you fool. Love will protect Harry Potter. Don't you know that? By the way, Harry Potter is a right-wing Christian story. I want to let you know right now, Harry Potter is exists in a universe in which Jesus Christ is real, the Son of God, and the entire story is actually modeled after the life of Jesus. So if you like Harry Potter, if you're not a Christian, you're a hypocrite. Is this one we're looking at here, Olaya Scootercaster, Scootercaster New York? This is live right now. This is live right now, monitoring the Minnesota-Minneapolis standoff here. Already, you know, if this was me, I'd be saying, yeah, this is way too chaotic, guys. Where are the barriers? Where are the, you know, cordons? You know, where's the hard line perimeter? Okay, do not go past here. You stay over there. We'll stay over here. I mean, where is the control? Looks like you just have squads of ICE agents sort of stumbling and bumbling around while the protesters mill about yelling and sometimes throwing things at them. Can we get some control on this situation? I guess this is just the path it takes. This is just always the cycle that we have to allow to happen. You put out the grossly inadequate law enforcement presence. You allow the protesters to get more and more confident to the point that they're actually attacking the police, and then you need to crack down on the protesters by assaulting or tear gassing them. It's just like, is there not another way we could do this? Seems like could be. Yeah, where's the Insurrection Act? Are we just going to allow this to grow and grow and grow until it's that much more difficult to get a handle on? We're going to watch the flames grow until it's a burning inferno, or can we snuff it out while it's still in this infancy and the flickering flames? Let's go to this other video. Protester arrested. ICE agents release pepper balls at the crowd outside the Whipple Federal Building in Minnesota where all this is taking place. Let's watch that. Okay, so this looks like maybe same area. Maybe a little bit later or before, but there you can hear the popping of they essentially use paint. I mean, they literally use paintball guns. And then you see them rush out again. It's maybe that same event. So it looks like there's at least three different reporters on the scene there all capturing that event at the same time. Yeah, things are getting tense there. Looks like we have one more, but it's that same video. So one major arrest of this guy, but a couple of big fat guys being arrested today is the latest we have from Minnesota. But the crowds do seem like they're gathering. There's the live footage, live video there in the bottom right-hand corner. Guys, we can just keep that live as we continue to monitor this. I'm going to go and open up the phone lines for your calls for the last hour here. We still have a lot of news to talk about, but obviously this is where all of the attention and energy is. This live, guys? Not this one. This was a little bit earlier as well, so multiple arrests having been made. We'll try to touch on some other topics, but we're going to keep an eye open to what's going on there in Minnesota and Minneapolis, as it is the the epicenter of the world right now. This is the live one here, the live view of the standoff. So we'll take your calls. The number to dial, 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Of course, some other news surrounding this, it was revealed that the person who shot the DHS ICE agent who fired on the woman yesterday after being hit by the car was, in fact, the very same Border Patrol agent who was dragged something like 300 feet or 100 yards by another illegal immigrant that he was trying to arrest. That's been confirmed by Kristi Noem. We can go to clip number two here. This is DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. Again, good answer, good response, doubling down and basically telling Tim Walz, cut it the hell out or things are only going to get worse for you. Let's watch.
When it comes to enforcing federal law. You know, we've got thousands of officers there, and I'm not opposed to sending more if necessary to keep people safe. Back up here.
So she says she's going to pour even more agents into it. We can go to clip 13 here. This is the same agent a few months ago being dragged over 300 feet while arresting Robert Carlos Munoz. Let's watch.
According to a federal complaint, agents were executing a warrant for 39-year-old Roberto Carlos Munoz. They say Munoz entered the country unlawfully, and he also pled guilty to fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct back in 2023 for abusing a minor. Tuesday morning, agents pulled him over. Court documents say he repeatedly refused to comply before a federal agent took out his spring-loaded window punch with his right hand and broke the driver's side rear window. These images show the officer's hand in the vehicle. In this video, you can see the driver take off with the agent hanging from the car, dragging him 300 feet through front yards. These graphic images show the aftermath. A bloody agent who needed 33 stitches for his significant cuts. And now a political battle with a top Homeland Security official criticizing Governor Tim Walz, posting on X, instead of comparing ICE law enforcement to the Gestapo, Walz should be thanking our brave law enforcement. The Department of Justice says a request for Munoz to be held after that 2022 arrest was, quote, not honored by local authorities, and Munoz was released.
So here this guy's that's already had a car used as a weapon against him. He had to get 33 stitches. You saw the video there, covered in blood in the hospital room. And again, he doesn't know who this woman is. He doesn't know, you know, what her intentions are. She turns the car towards him and floors it. And honestly, looking at the footage again and again, we can go to clip 10 here, the slow-mo clip. We can roll that in the background. Honestly, I think it was the icy conditions that saved this guy's life, because you can see it's a front-wheel drive car, and you can see the wheel spin there. If that had traction from the jump, that car would have leapt forward. But I think maybe because it's so snowy and icy there, you can actually see the front tires lose traction, because she obviously slams the accelerator, and there you can see it spins for a second before it grips traction. So, I mean, if it was less icy, or if she had not slammed the accelerator quite so hard, it is likely this guy would have been taken down by a car. And I didn't pull in any of the videos, but people have been posting videos of other officers who have been killed in situations exactly like this. Not that any thinking, intelligent, honest person needs to be explained it. Obviously, a car flooring, you know, being floored right at you, you know, all it takes is a slightly different angle. You go down instead of getting knocked to the side. You go under the tires instead of getting, you know, thrown free. Thrown clear. So it's not like I even have to explain to you, but there are many, many, many examples of officers being killed in a situation exactly like that. Standing in front of a car, when the person floors it, they go under the wheel, and that's lights out for the officer. So to act like this guy's just shooting a woman who was trying to drive away, it's just endlessly dishonest. We don't have to belabor the point, but you should know. You should just know, and it has been confirmed that that officer was, in fact, the one who was pulled 300 feet by the car. Governor Waltz an hour ago authorized the Minnesota National Guard to assist local law enforcement as tensions rise in Minneapolis following the deadly eye shooting. Out of an abundance of caution and in coordination with local officials, Governor Waltz authorizes Minnesota National Guard to be staged and ready to support local law enforcement if needed. Executive Order 2601 provides the ability for the Minnesota National Guard to protect critical infrastructure and to assist local law enforcement with additional tasks as requested. The state is providing additional law enforcement resources in a coordinated response to aid local law enforcement. The Minnesota State Patrol has mobilized 85 members of its mobile response team to support law enforcement efforts in the Twin Cities. So far, I haven't seen this expanding out to other cities too much, but that will probably come this weekend. We'll go out to your calls here. If we can make the call screen a little bigger, I'm having trouble reading it, but let's just go to line one because they were first in here. Sean, I think it is, on line one. Go ahead.
Dean.
Dean on line one, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking back to an interview that Alex did with an old attorney that was a cadet with Trump in military school, and he said that Trump never raised his voice when everyone did, right? He's a commander. And that he never laid a hand on anybody. And I just see that as a sign of weakness. I see that we need to pray that he has the courage to send out the troops like 120,000 of them, you know, that Truman did or Eisenhower and Kennedy, right?
Yep.
It's ridiculous. He has to do this.
So that's interesting. So there was a interview with an old classmate of Trump where he said basically Trump was never ruffled, never raised his voice, never laid a hand on anybody, which you would think would be a positive. But then when you're the one who's in charge of enforcing law and order, when you're the executive of a country, not a company, but a country, you need to be hardcore sometimes. You need to know when to take the gloves off and when to raise your voice. And so that's sort of a weakness of Trump that you're seeing.
My point is that he never used his authority to his fullest extent.
And I'm still
not. I don't think
he
will this time either.
Well.
And Pam Bondi, you remember that guy that prophesied about Trump getting his ear hit? Well, he said a woman in white will bring him down. And literally, she wears white everywhere. And she's just a fool.
She is. She is. And it's weird because everybody else seems to know it. I mean, who is in favor of Pam Bondi? Like, nobody likes Pam Bondi. Nobody on the right likes Pam Bondi. None of the Trump voters like Pam Bondi. Trump alone apparently likes Pam Bondi and thinks she's doing a good job. It is inexplicable, my friend. Very interesting call. Thank you for that, Dean. Let's go to Peter in Florida now. Peter, thank you for calling in. You want to talk about impotence? Yeah, impotence is a good word for the condition plaguing the Republicans right now. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison. Yeah, I mean, the primary problem is that we as a country are in a war, but only one side, the Democrats, are fighting.
Yep.
Mayorkas literally let in 20 million invaders, which is the largest invasion in world history, but he's still walking around freely. No one has been arrested. And Trump, you know, he can be the Abe Lincoln, Caesar, pivotal historical character that he likes to talk to. That, you know, as if he is, especially with all the momentum from, you know, the assassination attempt on him and whatnot, but he's just squandering it. And, you know, the administration looks impotent at best or just complicit with the deep state at worst. And I mean, the government is full of traitors, but instead Trump is inviting them to the White House, you know, playing patty cake with them and Lindsey Graham and awarding Silicon Valley, you know, globalist billion-dollar AI surveillance contracts. It's just – it's insane. And it's almost kind of like it would have been better if they stole the election for Kamala, because then there wouldn't have been this, like, false hope, you know, Trump pressure release valve of, you know, we're back in, and it would have sunken in kind of the state that the country is in, that there is no resolving and reforming the power structure through legal means. But – you know, I just, like you said, I don't understand how Trump and every elected conservative isn't at least motivated by self-interest and self-preservation. Like, they are going to arrest you or kill you if you do not stop these people. Like, even, like, if Trump does not arrest the deep state, they will impeach him, arrest him, you know, Mamdani will seize his buildings and ruin his life and steal his children's inheritance. And, you know, I don't know how we can, you know, convey the direness and the urgency of the situation that is self-evident. I just, you know, that's what's so insane.
That is exactly right. And by the way, the image that you're seeing on screen now is a live feed from Washington, D.C., where people are gathering with professionally made signs saying Trump must go now and jail killer ICE agents and all sorts of other leftist talking points. So it looks like the movement is spreading to different cities, and the initial class of goblins is there gathering in a crowd. I completely agree with you, Peter. It's pathetic and sad, and it is. I mean, the man is building a triumphant arch. Okay, construction on the triumphant arch is set to begin any day now, and it's like, dude, you got to win the war first. You're walking around like you're doing a victory lap. The race isn't over, so. Is it just delusional, man? Peter, is it just he's being lied to? But like, I can't believe that. Like you said, it's self-evident. And he has J.D. Vance. He has his sons. Like, they talk to Trump, right? Nobody's stopping them from getting a word in to the president. So, like, where are our voices? Where are the people around Trump that can speak for his supporters? We know that they are online. We know that they see this stuff. So it's just pathetic. Ooh. What do you think we need to do, Peter? I think maybe we need to go out and hold protests that are just calling for the Insurrection Act now. I think maybe that will get through to Trump, because I think he does have people telling him, oh, you're not going to win the midterms if you invoke the Insurrection Act. I think we need to come together to go, no, Trump, we're telling you, invoke the Insurrection Act. Maybe he needs to hear that from the people in mass, like bullhorning the White House or something. What do you think about that, Peter?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible, but, you know, like you kind of said, like, there's no way through social media and Trump Jr. And like, you know, a lot of people notice that J.D. Vance seems to have his finger on the pulse of, you know, the right-wing movement. There's no way that he doesn't know all of this. So then it's like, well, then has he literally just been a con artist for the last 10 years, or did the bullet grazing his ears, you know, scare him, and the deep state said, you better do what we want or we'll kill you and all your family? Like, I don't know that it's, you know, lack of knowledge. I don't, you know, it's just maybe he thinks that his legacy, you know, will be okay. But as you've pointed out, the left already hates him regardless of what he does. Yeah. But now the right wing will hate him and see him as a con artist, scam artist that could have saved the country and didn't. And we'll live in a, you know, communist prison planet hellhole. So it's like the it could not be more urgent. And especially when you see everything happening in Canada and Australia and the UK,
yep.
Like, we're not just fighting for America. We're fighting like literally a civilizational clash. And we, like you said, we have controlled the government, but it doesn't feel that way.
Yep.
Because, you know, I want to motivate him, and maybe, you know, people publicly, Republicans publicly demonstrating would help that. But it seems like he's already made his decision, and, you know, it's not good at all.
Brilliant call, Peter. I completely agree with you, and you tied in so many separate strings together there, because you're exactly right. And then you look in context with what's happening in Australia and Canada and the UK, and like you said, we're not just fighting for America, we're fighting to keep the flame of civilization alive. I mean, it is being snuffed out. What's the famous quote? I think it was from Churchill, right? Or another British prime minister talking about the Nazis and saying the lights are going out all over Europe. You know, we'll be lucky to see them lit again in our lifetime. That's how we are now, only it's not the lights in Europe. It's lights all over the world, and they're being snuffed out deliberately. And we won't see them relit in our lifetime. They might never get relit ever. If they get snuffed out once and for all, by which I mean the light of civilization, the enlightenment, free speech, human rights, the things that our forefathers fought and died and built for 1,000 years to bring us, and they're all going away. They're all going away. They're all being snuffed out. They're all being robbed, stolen, destroyed right in front of us. And America is a last bastion, a last hope, which again makes the failure of Trump all the more devastating. And feel all the more like a betrayal rather than a failure. Thank you so much for the call. We'll be back with more calls on the other side, more videos, big riots breaking out in Iran as well, as the outrage seems to be growing against the Ayatollah there, people moving towards the Supreme Leader's residence. As we know, it's not just America. Things are popping off all over the world. We'll be right back.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss. It's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Segment of the War Room for today's broadcast. I do want to encourage you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. It's your last day to get a free bottle of Atomic Defense or the Shilajit gummies with the purchase of any supplement. So buy any supplement, which I believe is already on discount, but no matter what, get any supplement and you get a free bottle of either Atomic Defense or Shilajit gummies to help you fight back against cold and flu season and keep your immunity as high as possible. You know, I didn't have the video in today, but it was going viral yesterday. I assume it's a new interview with Bill Maher and the creator of Family Guy. And they're talking about COVID. And who's the guy who created Family Guy? Was it Seth MacFarlane? Was like, you know, says something, you know, Bill Maher says, you know, well, they lied about stuff. And Seth MacFarlane says, well, like what? Bill Maher's like, I don't know. How about natural immunity? And it's like, wow, okay, fine. Like, yeah, remember? You guys remember when they told you the immune system didn't exist? That natural immunity wasn't real? That the only way to defend your body from illness was to get a novel version of a vaccine that's not an actual vaccine that reprograms your DNA? Remember when they told you that? Remember when they lied to you about that? Remember when your friends at InfoWars told you that was BS and that your immune system is a shield that has to be maintained and upheld, and that by isolating yourself, especially as a child, from all, you know, potential diseases, you actually weaken your immune system over time? It's not that complicated, folks. They're lying to you about everything. They want you to be completely separate from the natural world in every possible way. That means they don't want you growing your own food. They don't want your immune system working. They want everything controlled by them. Literally everything, from your ability to eat food and have sustenance to maintain your survival to the function of your body's immune system. They want control over all of it. And we aren't going to let them. And one of the ways you don't let these people take control is you don't be dependent on them in the first place. So don't be dependent on vaccines. Boost your immune system naturally. Don't be dependent on their food systems. Grow your own food, have storable food, have friends with cows. That's actually the way that you stay free. And that's the way that we encourage you at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, a lot of stuff breaking right now. We're going to go right back to your phone calls. We're seeing if there's any videos from today. Apparently the arrest that took place that we just showed you, Commander Bovino being assaulted and somebody being arrested for that, happened right outside the famous Quality Learing Center. And it's become an icon of fraud throughout the world, but, you know, focused on Minnesota. Now, we'll go out to your calls, but there's a lot of other stuff going on right now. There continues to be massive protest in Iran that only seem to be growing. At the same time, we have a note from Died Suddenly. The U.S. Postal Service has quietly issued a troubling letter to employees and contractors. The letter appears to anticipate a major crisis is imminent. The last time the post office sent a letter like this, COVID happened. So you can see it's dated January 5th, 2026. Postal Service employees continue to provide essential services. They say during large-scale emergencies, parentheses, epidemics, hurricanes, civil unrest, etc., close parentheses, states and localities may issue curfew orders or other directives restricting travel and other commercial and personal activities. Many of these orders will explicitly exempt providers of essential services, but some do not. Even if a state or local action does not contain such an exemption, the Postal Service's operations are governed by federal law. So this is interesting. Apparently a similar letter was issued just ahead of the lockdowns, but one has just been issued 2 days ago to employees at the Postal Service, basically saying, hey, in the event that we're in another lockdown soon, you know, from one of these large scale emergencies, you know, here's how to act. So might be a signal worth paying attention to amongst all the noise. Let's go out to calls now. Bart in Georgia has called in about the ICE shooting. Bart, on line three, thank you so much for calling in. You are up next, sir. Let's go to line three. Bart, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my calls. I just want to explain something to these retards that are protesting ICE. They have no right. Illegal aliens have no right to hearings or anything. There is only arrest, detainment, and deportation. And these officers being attacked again and again and again, their brain is going through pattern recognition. It's only to be expected that they're going to turn around and blow somebody's head off after they try to drive a car into you. This guy is justified, and that woman was at home taking care of her kids like she's supposed to be. She would still be alive. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and it's sad that this has to be explained to people. No, you do not have a right to go interfere in lawful law enforcement activities, you absolute morons. Sad. It's sad, Bart, that we have to explain this to everybody. Let's go to Travis in Utah now. Travis in Utah, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Harrison. You guys and your callers are on point, as always. So I'd like to add a kind of a 1,000-foot bird's-eye view, other perspective overlap here. So along with what's going on now, they're telling all these illegals and everybody to go out and get guns, and they're pro-Second Amendment, blah, blah, blah. But then in the meantime, like the ATF cuts and the CGS appropriation bill votes going on today. So there's a look over here, don't look over here. So at the same time, they're trying to spark off a civil war with each other and pro-gun towards the people that aren't supposed to have guns. Our legal gun rights are getting gutted that we fought for the last 2 years. And on top of that, I'd like to add a suggestion for a show tip. I'd absolutely love it if you guys would take a half hour on a segment one day a week and get strictly into the 2A amendment issues and what's going on and keep all your InfoWars current and up to date. And I'm endorsing the NAGR, National Gun Rights Association. They're doing all the work in the grassroots, boots on the ground. I'm a member, $35 a year. And I appreciate your time. Love you guys. Lifetime listener. Keep doing the good work. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Travis. Well, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Don't go. Tell us more about this, because you're right. I've been paying attention to a lot of geopolitical stuff. I've been paying attention to what's going on in Minneapolis. I've not been paying attention to attempts to take our gun rights. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so this has happened twice. So the House CGS Appropriations Bill is taking a vote today, and this is where our representatives, our elected ones, both sides of the fence, they're in there gutting all the stuff that Biden put in that we've been fighting to get out, okay? Mm. So it's not, you know, we're talking a list of things. Defunding ATF's illegal gun registry, defunding pistol brace rule, defunding engaged in the business rule stripped out, defunding the frame and receiver rule erased, prohibiting firearm registration wiped out. These are all the things. And then the only thing they're giving us is, oh, we'll let you keep your $200 tax stamp on suppressors, right? Mm. So they're throwing us a bone there, but they're gutting us. So in my opinion, behind the scenes, they're trying to start a civil war with the people, pushing guns on one end, and then in back door, they're trying to make it illegal for us to have the guns, take them away like always. They're still a Podesta plan, long term. This is what they're doing. I can just rattle off a bunch of stuff. I'm a little excited, but that's the gist of why I called and what I would really hope InfoWarriors out there pay attention to. You know, like I say, I'm a member of NAGR, and those guys are fighting, and it's $35 a year, man. And they protected me through the pistol brace rule.
Oh,
right?
Fantastic. So, and what's their website?
NAGR, National Association for Gun Rights .org, I think. National
people
Gun Rights
can find it, but you like them better than some of the other groups.
You know, everyone out there that's fighting for us, yes. But these are the guys that buckled up with the companies that were on the chopping block in the last couple of years, and they're the only ones that are delivering petitions and emails, and they're showing up. They're showing up to all the Capitol buildings. They're showing up in Washington. They're hand-delivering pallets of petitions, and these guys they're the ones that are doing the real fight. They're the ones that saved our bacon the last 2 years and the ones that are really doing the work.
Well, thank you very much for that call, and you're right. We can at least spend a couple minutes every week to check in on that fight, because, I mean, this is the problem. I mean, we're fighting 1,000 different battles right now. I mean, really, they're all one battle, right? It's all about, you know, whether they want to take your freedom of speech or your gun rights. It's all the same motivation. It's to weaken you. It's to make you vulnerable. It's to eventually, slowly but surely, kill you. Right. Kill your bloodline. I mean, it's all the same motivation, but it's happening in 1,000 different ways and 1,000 different attacks. So thank you for that and reminding us to keep our ears to the ground for the attempts to curtail our God-given rights. So the crew is finding all sorts of protests all over the country. The one we were just seeing is here in Austin, apparently, a small gathering of communist agitators outside of Chili's. Fantastic. Waving flags that are half American, half Mexican, which makes you a full-fledged trader. That's what that is. So, incredible stuff. Again, more Mexican flags than American flags because they're not pretending. Because they're not even pretending anymore. You know, they like to, no kings. America's all about no kings. They don't care. They don't care about America in the slightest. Now, again, I feel I must bring you this news as it arrives. The protests in Iran that have broken out earlier this week in about 85 different places continue to go crazy. This is from Ahmed Hassan. The ongoing military preparations in Iran do not suggest a defensive posture at all. Over the last 24 hours, Iran has taken steps that indicate offensive. Over the past 24 hours, Iran has taken steps that indicate offensive preparations, not defensive. These include clearing flight paths and diverting them away from major cities, moving offensive assets towards the borders instead of cities, and reinforcing military bases with active and passive radar systems. The objective may be to ensure clear air corridors for ballistic missile launches and to prepare for potential Israeli defensive strikes aimed at neutralizing launch sites. Along with the Iranian military and political statements, all indications suggest that they may be preparing for a preemptive move rather than a defensive posture. So that is extremely interesting. So add that to the, again, signals that we've been getting over the last few days. So we have the, you know, massive protests in Iran. Trump's come out saying basically if you shoot at them, we're going to, you know, you're going to have trouble from us. You have Russia apparently evacuating their staff from the Israeli embassy and telling Russians in Israel to leave ASAP. You have a bunch of staging of American military equipment in European forts throughout the European theater that is very similar to what occurred just before Operation, you know, Bomb Fordo earlier in June. So all of these things are happening at once. Could be a false alarm, but seems like something is getting ready to go down in the Middle East. Whether Israel or Iran will be the first to kick it off, I guess we'll wait and see. But I guess, you know, being under the protests that they're under, Iran is pretty well incentivized to kick things off, to maybe settle things down domestically. But we'll see. We shall see. Let's go now to Edward in Minnesota. Go ahead, Edward. You're there. You've actually been seeing the protesters. Here we're seeing another live view of a protest, a parade, a march in D.C. Obviously, Austin, Seattle, people are gathering. Minneapolis, they're already fighting with ICE. Go ahead, Edward. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How's it going out there?
Good. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Harrison. Love the show. Yeah, the people down here, I don't really see anything other than there's a lot of people here that seem to be from other places. These people, I think the majority of them are from they're bused in or something. They're not from they're not the local people because I lived in the area. I know this Nicollet Mall and the whole area down here where all this stuff is happening. And we're only eight blocks, I think, or six blocks from where the George Floyd burning down the city happened. So it's not far away from there. Most of these people, they seem to be completely not any bit clueless about what fraud is. And now Tim Walz is probably laughing because him and Ilhan and Ellison, all these people need to be in jail. They have been shifted the whole fraud of this theft. And I believe it's up to $64 billion if you look at the Medicaid and the health care and all the different freebies that they've burned. These Smolians have been coming here. You can thank Al Franken for it. It's been coming here since the 90s. I watched this stuff go on in the 90s, and I actually don't live in this state anymore because I moved out of here simply because when I saw Al Franken, you know, they're putting ads in the paper bringing these people to the city of Minnesota, to downtown Minneapolis, okay? They're getting rent. They're living $3,000 apartments that we're paying for, that they've emptied these and built even new buildings for these people, these Somalians, to live in.
Right.
Now, you know, what are they doing? I mean, basically they're trying to shift the attention and the blame off of the people that have been doing this. You can't tell me these Somalians with a 65, 67 IQ did this stuff all on their own. This stuff is orchestrated by people that know what to do, know how to teach them to do it, and look the other way. And it's not only happening here, it's happening in Boston, it's happening in New York, it's happening all over the country.
This is happening in Ohio, it's happening in Texas. You're exactly right. And Of course they're in on it. I mean, the Somalis are the tool that they're using. This cannot happen without the participation of the government. And we have Ellison on tape soliciting donations in exchange for covering up the fraud. So you're exactly right, sir.
How did Ilhan Omar go from $60,000 in her bank account within a year or two? She's got $30 million. And her husband, you guys, I mean, the American people are not paying attention that this is a robbery. We're being robbed. This is theft. This is not just fraud. This is being done on purpose. I call it theft and terrorism. And they're using the American country, our whole infrastructure. They've embedded themselves so deeply in our country that we can't even find any type of peace with these Soros judges refusing to charge people. I mean, the guy that the main guy that got busted, he's got a child for a judge letting him go.
Yeah, and of course,
letting him go.
And it's beyond that. That not only like do they not charge him, they charge him. They have the trial, they convict him, and then the judge throws it out. I mean, it is beyond absurd. Thank you very much for the call, Edward. I completely agree. We're going to go to a few more calls here. We are hearing some breaking news, however. U.S. border agents shoot two people in Portland, city officials say. So this is just breaking. Apparently occurred around 3 p.m., which I assume would be local to Portland, which would be an hour ago, right? The shooting occurred near East Burnside and 141st Avenue. The condition of the two people who were shot was not immediately known, but Portland City Council President Elena something has said, as far as she knows, they're still alive. So very little information about this, but there's a local news report, and if the crew can let me know whenever you get that in, we'll go to that. But apparently there was a shooting by Border Patrol in Oregon, of all places. Oh, it's the press conference. It's live right now. So that's interesting. I mean, okay, I see. All right. So we don't have a video for that. Well, we'll look for any more information that comes out. Must not be. I don't know. Maybe it did have to do with the protest. But if it had to do with the protest, you would think there would be video of that already. So the fact that we don't have video of it, and I'm just hearing about it from the local news, suggests maybe it was a different situation than what you might think when you hear federal agents shoot two people in Portland. Okay. Hey, can we bring this audio in? Can we hear this?
All those two individuals drive up in a car. Now, of course, that is unconfirmed by that press release that Wright just mentioned from Portland Police Bureau. But neighbors here did say they saw those two individuals drive up in a car. Hopefully, they are doing okay at this time. They said, you know, from the looks of it, at least they were able to drive themselves here. And then police met them here in this neighborhood. Allegedly, from what the neighbor said, they may have some family, some connection here, and that is why they came here with their car from where that scene happened, from when the shooting happened. And, of course, just very recently getting that information confirmed from the Portland Police Bureau that scene happened in the address Wright provided you a little ways away from here, the shooting from two federal officers. There have been neighbors here just discussing this as we got here, a lot of people quite upset. And, of course, Portland Police Bureau urging calm. We'll come back to you guys, and we'll be here waiting and getting as much information as we can in the meantime.
Okay, Christina, thank you. The FBI has just released a tweet saying FBI Portland is investigating an agent-involved shooting that happened at approximately 2:15 near the 10,000 block of Main Street in Portland involving Customs and Border Patrol agents in which two individuals were wounded.
All right, this so remains very little information so far. Basically just reiterating, two people shot by agents. We'll bring you any more information about this as it arrives. Again, I would think if it was at a protest, there would be videos of that. So, interesting. ICE protesters being coached where to stand before press conference. Yeah, it's happening again. I mean, this is just deja vu. It is 2020 all over again. Let's go out to your calls. Once again, let's have Flash in South Carolina. I want to talk about Stuart Rhodes. Go ahead, Flash. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. How you doing today, sir?
Good, thank you.
Okay, a while back, Stuart was on with Alex Jones, and I know he's probably mentioned this on your show, too, that the time to actually do a peaceful protest in Washington, D.C. and put this in their face is yesterday. Right. And I'm going to make a point here with this. Keep in mind that these people that are doing these protests, as the other gentleman called in and said, these people from outside coming in, they can get in there and they can flash mob in a New York minute. However, if you or I tried this, do you think Facebook or any of these other places are going to let us organize? They'll cut it off at the knees.
Right. Right.
And if we lose these midterms, we're going to be in serious trouble. And I would stress to anybody out there hearing my voice, it's time now to organize, not to go start trouble, but just to go down there. And Alex even talked about this. He was going to actually go down to Washington. That time is yesterday. Now, I am active. I try to do stuff to get people involved. I've actually got patriotfolkbook-sc.com, where in my state here locally, that I try to get people to organize so that you can get together with people with like minds and make something happen. But I hope that Alex hears this, and I hope that maybe you guys actually have a serious conversation about this, about getting out and organizing an organized get-together, if you want to call that, however you want to label it.
Absolutely.
It needs to happen. I thank you for taking my call. And like I said, I do have patriotphonebook-sc.com. And anybody in my area want to reach out to me, please do. You can go there and find out how to get in touch with me. It's basically a way to contact each other on a local level so that we can barrage phone calls of these people.
That's what we need.
Or whatever we need to do.
That's what we need. We need to be fighting back in both ways, right? We need to be fighting back by going after these big global attacks that are happening all over the world all at once. But one of the most effective ways to do that is to organize locally. And, you know, empower your local community by county or town or whatever it is. So thank you very much for the call, and thank you for doing the hard work that so many people talk about but don't actually do. Patriotphonebook-sc.com. That is very useful. We're about to finish the show here. I'm just going to let you know in the last couple of minutes, things have kind of gone off the rails. I've just been monitoring a bunch of the foreign feeds, and it looks like rumors are that Khomeini is no longer in Iran. We know that there's rumors that he had an evacuation plan. Now the rumors are that plan may have occurred, and they may have whisked him away to Russia. U.S. and Israel likely to strike Iran, according to Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. Massive anti-ICE and anti-Trump protests all over the United States. The U.S. Embassy in Kiev issued a security alert warning of a potentially significant air attack that may occur. The Israeli Navy also opened fire on the Egyptian military vessel that entered Gaza's territorial waters. Heavy clashes in northern Aleppo between al-Julani's forces and the SDF. And in Iran, there's apparently no internet, no phone calls, and no communication with the outside world. And yet the Islamic regime's main state broadcaster is airing and promoting Tucker Carlson. Apparently, according to reports, Russia targeted the city of Lviv with an Oreshnik Russian intermediate-range ballistic missile minutes ago. Moscow has only used this weapon once in the Russian-Ukrainian war, and this was it. But apparently there's rumors now they may have launched another. So apparently, folks, in the last couple of minutes, things are popping off all over the Middle East, all over Ukraine, protests gathering here in America, in various cities across the country. Things are about to get intense, folks. One way or another, you're going to want to be tuned to Infowars.com. You're going to want the up-to-the-minute coverage from a perspective that you know is focused on the well-being of the American people and the prospect of freedom worldwide. Please do support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be back tomorrow to cover more. Stay frosty, folks, and get ready. Be clipping out there. Be monitoring the streams and uploading stuff, because we need you now to be our eyes and ears on the ground as things get even crazier in 2026.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history. how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra-methylene red.